welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. Phone number, 866-901-ADAM. Give us a call, because we're looking for some Ask Kiss Rodeo contestants. We're going to Vegas on March 9th, and we're going to play live, and we need folks to come out and play with us. We're looking for the best of the best, or the first five people. That's really how I structure my life. I announce I'm looking for the cream of the crop, the best of the best, but it really boils down to the first folks that show up. And basically, that's how life works, kids.
Certainly how you staffed up this show.
Absolutely. I announced sometime in early December that I was looking for the best of the best, but we just got the first eight people that actually showed up. Now, that's how most stuff works. Show up, don't piss off anybody, and you're in.
By the way, with the Ask Kiss Rodeo tournament, there will be a big cash prize.
I don't know.
Yeah, there'll be a big cash prize for the ultimate winner in Vegas, and of course the belt, which we're making.
That's worth more. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's worth more than any cash prize. I mean, imagine having the heavyweight championship belt of the world. That's got to be worth than the nominal cash prize that comes along with it. This is going to be huge. Yeah, I agree. So again, if you're good and you're going to be in Vegas on the 9th, and you want to play Ask Kiss Rodeo and walk with the belt.
But it's really the achievement. It's like, winning that is greater than any cash prize. It's the same as when people win the Super Bowl, they always say, I always think it's a weird thing. It's the pride of having won a Super Bowl, but they always mangle the cliche, because they always say, gentlemen, look at that Super Bowl ring. No one can ever take that Super Bowl ring away from you. Well, yeah, they could take the ring away from you at gunpoint, I imagine.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Somebody could take your cash money away from your victory as Ask Kiss champion, but never the pride.
Right. And you can't buy those championship rings unless some guy gets strung out on coke, some second string outside linebacker, and he puts it up on eBay, and then, in which case you can. All right, Tad is going to be doing a little Hollywood gossip for us, because Tad is a weird guy. He's not the brightest bulb in the chandelier yet. Knows more about pop culture than most people I know. Yes, Tad?
Yes, sir.
A sad testimony to pop culture, I would argue. But most of us don't want to dirty our hands with who's on top of the pop charts and who's winning in NASCAR and all that good stuff. And Tad stays on it.
I try to keep it real.
He's on that beat. So let's go ahead and give us a little Tad's Hollywood Gossip Report.
Before I start the gossip report, I just want big entertainment news. There's one thing I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Four of my favorite 80s bands are coming out on tour this summer.
Mm-hmm.
First is Def Leppard and Journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then this band right here. Yeah. CC DeVille.
Oh.
Bret Michaels. Ricky Rocket.
Dude, I love this band.
Bobby Doll. Better known as Poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming out.
Yes, CC DeVille's held up quite nicely over the years.
He's like the
Crypt Keeper.
Have you seen him lately?
Yes, I have. He's like, he's a ball of gristle with a cigarette hanging out of it.
Don't care. Still plays some mad rock. Them and Cinderella.
Really?
Cinderella.
Big Tad.
Gypsy Road, baby.
In the hizzy. So you're going to go see him?
Hell yeah.
We should have him come in here.
Yes, we should. Well, write that down.
Let's think about
Mike
that.
Mike August.
Where are they going to be?
Dates have yet to be announced, but I know they'll be in L.A.
They're crashing at Tad's place.
Yeah.
You don't have to throw me in a couple bucks. Just play a song or two.
I got a pool.
Tad loves the Unskinny Bop.
Yeah.
First off, Tad's crashing at Tad's place because Tad has no place.
I got a room.
Living at his mom's house with his uncle and a few stepkids.
Uncle, aunt, cousin, grandma, my mom, a dog, and a cat.
The good news is I've never been there, but I imagine a sprawling estate with you out at the pool house and the uncle maybe sleeping in the library on the third floor.
You know what I would love to see? I would love to see a contest where if Adam loses, he has to sleep over at Tad's house.
I got a couch for you.
Well, it should just be Adam kills himself, because that's what he would do rather than go over to Tad's house.
Oh, that sucks.
That's all right, buddy.
All right. That's enough of that. All right, gossip news. Lil' Kim's implants may be leaking in prison. She needs to have them serviced. A so-called source told reporters apparently she's worried her boobs are leaky. No one on the staff at the Federal Detention Center in Philadelphia would comment, mm-hmm. but a spokeswoman did say that if any inmates have medical problems that the in-house doctor can't handle, a specialist would be brought in.
My super gay ex-assistant, Matt, wrote her, signed a headshot from me, wrote her a letter saying, keep it real, girl. Adam Carolla waiting for you on the outside, and sent it to her because he's a big Little Kim fan, and he figured, well, when she did get out, she'd do that thing. You go, well, you know, when I was in, everyone forgot about me except for Carolla. And it's not a bad strategy to anybody who goes, anytime a celebrity goes in the joint, they'll go ahead and get a nice form letter. Do that thing where it's like, hey, I'm a big fan. I want you to know you haven't been forgotten about, blah, blah, blah. And just sign your name and send it all out. Eventually, they'll get out and they'll befriend you. And then you'll be chilling with, you know, one of the, you know, Charlie Sheen and Little Kim. It'll be nice.
I mean, are your fat bosoms leaking, by the way, Ted?
No, they're not.
I thought I sent some moisture.
All right, Ted, hurry up. Now, Jillian Barbary's waiting on the phone.
All right.
Give us the headlines, dude.
Oh, sorry, Miss reporter. Clay Aiken News, National Crier, is publishing photos which may finally force Clay Aiken to come out of the closet. Mm-hmm. A 22-year-old homosexual school teacher says Aiken performed crude striptease in a bid to solicit him for sex via a gay website.
Look, all these guys who we sort of forced to come out of the closet 3 years after they were out of the closet in our own minds anyway, it's anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I want to see a guy who I didn't know was gay. I don't want Elton John to announce he's gay 4 years ago when I knew he was gay in 1981.
Who do you want to be gay?
Clooney.
All right.
Just so noted. I can have Adam.
Noted.
But yes. Tad, one more.
Okay, what do you want to hear about? Nick Lachey dating someone, or Nick and Adam almost seeing each other at a...
Almost seeing each other?
Well, they saw each other.
Close. So no. Nick's dating Adam Levine now? What?
What happened, Tad?
Okay, Nick and Adam, they had a close call at a GM 10 event last week. Adam Levine, who is rumored to have had a fling with Jessica Simpson, almost ran into Nick Lachey. Sources say Nick was seen mouthing the words, "Oh my God," to a friend sitting next to him. Adam walked right past Nick without noticing him in the front row of the fashion show. Adam rushed over to his front row seat, which was only 10 feet away from Nick. An onlooker says as soon as Adam sat down, he felt something weird. It was Nick's eyes shooting daggers at him.
Girl fight.
When Adam looked up and saw Nick sitting right there, Adam got the scowl look on his face and didn't even crack a smile for the rest of the night.
Wow. Powerful stuff, Ted.
And that's the gossip report for right now.
Nice work.
Thank you.
All right. Jillian Barbary is on the phone. I watched her last night. Jillian?
You watched me lose.
It was very close. She lost by 0.2 of a point. And here's how into it I am. They didn't even announce you lost by 0.2 of 1 point. I just actually TiVo'd it, ran it back, and did the math.
Oh, my God, really? I didn't even know we lost. I just knew that she went home with the trophy, the money, and the boy, and I went home with the shaft again.
I know.
Where did you put the shaft?
Yes. And can I smell it? I have to say this. My goofball wife keeps, every time she sees you on the ice with Lieutenant Hunkenstein, she's like, those two need to hook up. They need to hook up. They need to hook up. And I'm like, he is married. And she's like, you know what? I don't care. They are such a cute couple. I said, well, okay, do I get to do that? What if I do a show and there's somebody, some cute co-host next to me?
I don't know, Dave Damashek, maybe?
Yeah.
He's married, Adam! Keep your paws off him!
I'm not. I don't care. I'm just flesh and blood as God created me. I'm just saying, my wife has now said 29 times, the beauty of her, she has a memory as long as my dog Molly, which is each week she says, those two are a cute couple, they need to hook up, and I keep explaining he's married.
Yeah, he's very married, and I actually just got back from the Olympics where his wife competed, and he called last night, left me a message. I was at a party, everyone was watching. I'm like, wait a minute, why am I throwing a party? I totally lose. And
well, you don't lose. You came in second out of what, 10, 8 or 10 couples?
Yeah,
but you beat out Willis.
They got so much better. Christy did great, and I think it's hard because when you look at each week, we did, John and I look back now and I get what they wanted. They wanted to see more of a connection on the ice, obviously.
Yeah.
They did more just skating with edges. I tried more tricks, and I did spins and jumps, and obviously they didn't care. So.
Well, that's what happened. Those two were slowly falling in love during their performance. Yeah. You and John...
We partied. We didn't fall in love. You know?
Right, but I gotta say that last dance when you guys were face to face at the very end, looking into each other's eyes, and my wife announced for the 35th time, we need to get you two together. Yeah. She did. And see what happened. Okay, so let me give everyone a recap of what happened last night.
Oh, God.
I'll give a sort of thumbnail sketch of the whole event. Jillian is the cream of the crop. She's from Canada, and she did ice skating when she was young and clearly had the advantage over everybody else in that competition. But Christy Swanson had steadily improved throughout the competition.
Who downplayed her ice skating? Come on. Deb Gibson had never skated before. That's what you look like when you've never skated. Christy, you don't look like Christy did if you've never skated. She just downplayed it.
If we've learned anything, Jillian hates Christy.
That's what we've learned. Yeah, well, not a big fan. And look, we've talked about it before. I've done enough of those celebrity things. It's a good time. It's for a charity. It's blah, blah, blah. And then there's always one a-hole guy who's super intense and super uptight and has to ruin it for everybody.
And I will say, hate is such a strong, I don't hate anybody. I think they totally deserve to win. They were awesome. They did a great job. But, you know, would we go out and hang out anytime soon? Hell no. We're just not the same.
No. Look, Jillian, we've established it on the show. When you don't like another celebrity, but there's a camera in front of you or a microphone, and you don't want to say anything horrible, you just repeat their name twice. You know, Christy's Christy. What can I say about Christy? She's Christy. The more you say her name, the bigger the a-hole they are. Yeah, Jack's Jack. I mean, that's how he works. He's Jack. You want to know what a super a-hole is? He'll always be Jack, which you just replace the name with a-hole. And that's how it works.
I do not even say that. I don't know. I didn't even get to know her. But we don't really...
Man, she's an ice queen. That's why.
But it'll feel good. Just go ahead and say it once. Christy's Christy.
Yeah. We'll just do it. What's it like to work with Christy?
Well, Christy is Christy.
Yeah, there you go.
Well done. Good
solid.
Read.
You know, there's a story. I got to look it up, but there's a story in the National Enquirer about Christy's ex-boyfriend apparently, like, catching Christy and Lloyd in the act.
Lloyd Eisler.
And, like, him jumping off a balcony in his underwear or something. I just sent Tad to get the
Enquirer. He could do it, too.
It's funny.
What's the latest on you in the hunt for Terrence Howard? Any word?
No, I don't. No, I gave up that hunt a long time ago. He had his assistant call. I told you, right. I'm forever single. Christy got the boyfriend, the money, the trophy. She wins. Chili goes home alone.
Yeah, but if he wins the Oscar though, you're gonna feel like you really missed
out. He'll thank me. No, Dave, you got to know me. That's why I've been single for 5 years. If I don't get the guy, I don't chase after him. I'm too comfortable in my life. I got too many gays around me. I got my gays. I got my girlfriends. I got my dogs. I got a good house, a nice car to drive. I don't need the guy. I mean, it would be nice. I'm a little lonely, I'll be honest.
But Jillian, I'm starting a new show for you. It's called Lower Your Standards.
Yeah. Starring Big Tad.
Honestly, if you were to see some of my standards, Rachel, Steve is like, higher your standards. Steve Edwards, that's all he ever says to me. Higher your standards.
Well, look, here's...
Thanks for that. These standards, I dated the carpenter to the NFL football player. From black 24-year-olds to white 50-year-olds.
Yep. Lower them. Again, more low.
Yeah, but have you ever dated a fat man before?
No, that's not good advice.
No, it's not. It's not about... Here's what it's about. It's about... Jillian, you're a little nutty, right? I mean, there's a maintenance factor here.
Only on TV.
I know you, Jillian, and I know your type. I've been around long enough to know. You got energy.
A little nutty. I don't even know what that means anymore.
Well, here's what I mean. You have your metronome goes tick, 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 tick. You know what I mean? You have a motor in you.
Yeah.
And it's good for hanging out. It's good for tilting some drinks. It's good for partying. It's good for TV. The camera loves it. Everything loves it. And it's good for your bank account, too. You get up at 4 in the morning. You do one job. Then it's right off to rehearsal. You do your next job. And then you're on at night. Then you're on with us. It's great for everything but a relationship.
Right. You're right.
You need to ratchet it down just a little bit. Once you get into a relationship, because you have a motor, you have 110% motor. It's the same with guys. who do this. They get, they're these kinds of guys when they're not base jumping, they're buying out some company, and when they're not doing that, they're launching their own airline. These guys can never stay married, and the women can never stay married. The people who get married are the people who basically decided to take a Quaalude and a shot of Robitussin and go through life, like Dave's parents.
Dad, you got to
jump on his dad to get a word out of him. The mom does all the talking. It's nice and easy. Now, here's
the... And that's when I go out with guys, when I'm not doing all the stuff that you just said on the Amazon, I'm very quiet, and I watch movies, and I'm almost boring. And
That's fine, but at some point in the relationship, the nutty metronome gets fired up, and here you go. And guys, we can't handle it. It's too much. We want to get
I'm
in a relationship.
I want to lower your ambitions.
Yeah, it's not even about standards or ambitions. It's just about dialing it down just a little bit. Get in, meet a guy, ratchet it down. Then you got to turn it on again when the camera comes on. But at home, in the relationship?
I don't even know how to turn it on when the relationship comes on, because I'm the opposite. Like I said, when I get in a relationship, it becomes all about... I have like two speeds, dead and 150 miles an hour. And
he must be awesome in bed.
Go with dead until I'm done with the sex, and then you can ratchet it up before I leave.
I'm really good in bed.
Oh, I know you're good in bed. I know. You have to be.
I'm a pleaser. I'm one of those kids that was adopted. Go figure, you know. Yeah. It's all about that. Yeah. So we're always pleasing. We don't want to be abandoned.
Yes. Jillian, there's still some fluid in me somewhere. Find it. That's what I would say to you in the sack.
Oh.
Could be a tear, could be some plasma, whatever it is, go find it. Use your mouth this time.
Oh, no.
Jillian, I'm just telling you, look, I did a relationship show for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know,
I
know what I'm talking about. Believe you me. Here's the situation. You got a motor. You come from a chaotic past. There's issues with dad. These are all the things that are getting in the way of you and the relationship. Forget about, you know.
Actually, my dad, that's the only healthy relationship I've ever had. He's awesome.
Well, stepdad or whoever. I mean, if you were adopted, there's issues around that. And here's the...
But I'm fine. I already found my birth family. I'm like, no, I don't have any of those issues anymore. I think I used to, but...
No, there's...
Honestly, I think people want to see... Guys expect bells and whistles, and when they get to know me, I don't have that. I'm mellow. I rescue animals. I live in the valley. I'm very boring. And... I think they want all the bells and whistles, and I can't provide them all the time because I'm not a circus act.
You know what?
Yes.
You know what you need? You need a hype man.
Yeah.
We need to find a hype man for Jillian to pump her up. For guys, to hype her.
Let's let Ace and company find you a fella. Will you sign on? We'll find you a guy.
Yeah, we got Dave over here from San Francisco. Hold on a second. Oh. Not sure I even had to do that.
And so it begins.
Twice. Let's see if I hang up. Did I hang up on Jillian? I just hung up on her again.
Oh, no. I found the story about, it does actually say about Christy Swanson's ex-boyfriend vowing to catch them in the act, and he got into the hotel, got a key from the front desk.
Wow.
Because they were in a hotel, and actually it says, I ran down the stairs and saw Lloyd leap off the balcony wearing his boxer shorts.
Wow. Now, that could have been a skating outfit, too. He doesn't wear a lot.
That's true.
Well, I just hung up on Jillian. I think she's back. Jillian, sorry, baby doll.
That's okay. See, that's what I'm talking about, Rachel. They just click, and then it's done. And I'm like, what
happened? The abandonment. You feel abandoned. It's okay.
Yeah.
I am just telling you, guys have many modes. You know, we have the let's go out and party mode. Let's have a romp mode.
I'm a party girl. Like, let's go party.
Yes, but when it comes to relationships, we'd like to ratchet it down a little bit. And go into, I don't want to call it autopilot, but let's call it Walking Dead. That's what we'd like to go into. And if you're coming at them with crazy, you're going to freak them out and they ain't going to hang out. And then you'll just have a succession of these sort of 3-week relationships that are sexually charged, but no future.
Right.
All right. All right. I could work with you a little more off the radio if you like.
I'm from San Francisco.
Yeah, what happened to the guy from San Francisco? All right, I'm going to press you. I'm going to hold on
it's
a second.
Gay anyway.
Hold on, let me see. I'm going to press you again.
Story of my life. Yeah.
All right, that's. Oh, you know what? I pressed you twice. That's what screwed me up.
Don't hang up on me.
I got you, baby doll, Dave.
Yo.
You want to date Jillian?
I would.
She's hot. Have you seen
Jillian?
Did you see the show?
Hi, Dave.
I did. How you doing? I'm awesome. How are you
doing? I'm not from San Francisco. I'm from Martinez. I'm outside of San Francisco, so I'm not gay.
Okay. And what are your qualifications?
What are my qualifications? I'm
crazy?
Responsible?
Mm-hmm. You're like a little crazy?
Yeah.
Alright.
Responsible, yes.
Yeah, I'm independent. I don't need anybody's money. I got my own money.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I like that because I don't want to pay alimony again, Dave. I'll be honest.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a mechanic down at the Port of Oakland.
Oh,
nice.
Wow. I like a man who has grease under his nails, not afraid to get his hands dirty.
Yeah, regular
nice.
James
exactly.
Bond type.
Exactly.
What do you work on?
Diesel
engine. All right, hold on. Yeah.
Well, this sounds more like
I'm
a love
sorry.
Match for Corolla.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Look, it's just not going to work.
Jillian, let's get together.
Wait, Adam, you're hilarious. This is like the game that you always play. Who'd you rather on the cross-country trip? And there's no wrong answer. I love when people go into that. They're like, oh, okay, good. There's no wrong answer. Like Neil Patrick Harris the other day and everything. Every time he answers, it's like,
yeah.
I thought there were no wrong. So this is like a wrong.
Yeah, this is not, look, this guy, here's the whole thing. Ladies do this thing where they're like, hey man, I want a guy who works with his hands. Well, they're picturing a guy, big brawny looking guy with the flannel shirt and the sleeves rolled up, who comes in after a hard day of logging. You know, he could be a physicist, but he chooses to work the honest way. The reality of the blue collar guys, alcoholics, pedophiles, racists, just greasy banged guys working down at the docks. You don't want to know what the real blue collar guys are like. They're a mess. Speaking of white trash, they cut up to the...
Take my number, Julian.
Oh, please, get out of here. All right, listen. Get rid of Dave. The guy, you know, when Christy Swanson did that thing where she was like, hey, I want to thank my brother up in the stands. That guy had like a 3-stage mullet. Did you see that, dude? And I was like,
no, I missed that.
Oh, yeah. TiVo. TiVo, baby. Anyway. All right. Here, the point is Jillian could have won the competition hands down, but she won for the very difficult axle maneuver and hit the ice. And that ruined her chances. The point is she rolled the dice. She could have played it safe and probably won, but she decided to go out on a bang and ended up biting her on the ass.
Let me tell you something. Can I say something quickly, Jillian? Here's a suggestion for you. Steal Lloyd Eisler from Christy Swanson.
Ooh,
that's it.
Good.
And then kick him to the curb.
You know what? He's not even that hot.
So what?
He's not hot at all.
Break her heart. Now that would be a victory.
That's
revenge.
What you do. That's right.
He's got earrings.
Chew him up and spit him out.
I'm so spoiled after skating with Zimmerman. He looks like, he is a model, but it's like, how do I go out in the regular dating world after skating with that?
No, he looks...
He manhandled me for 2 months. I'm ruined.
He's like Halle Berry's... boyfriend. Listen, I like the dude.
Each week I forget how good looking he is, and then I see him on TV and I'm like, snap, how good looking he is. But it's worse. It's worse that he's married. I'd rather him say I'm gay. I'd much rather have that. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
But to know, you know, he's so straight and he's such a guy's guy. It's so cool. But
I know.
Anyway, you know what? I go home a defeated loser, but it was such an awesome time. I had the greatest time.
Not loser, Jillian Barbary.
Right.
Not loser. You came in second place. All right, we got a break.
All right, you guys.
God bless you.
Thank you so much for having me out. It's been so much fun talking to you guys. And Rachel, you know what? After this conversation, I'm totally lowering my standards.
Yes.
I'm going to do that.
All right.
It was so fun talking to y'all.
Love you, Jillian. Bye.
Listen,
bye,
you guys.
Bye.
Love you.
Listen, here's the thing. You feel the manic, crazy energy coming off of her. Great when you're getting laid. Great for that one night. But guys recoil when we go into a cocoon. I go into the rope-a-dope when I feel that manic, crazy energy. I'll tell you what it is. Stop that music for a second. Let me be perfectly honest for a second. Here's how it works. People are trained intuitively to avoid things. This is why when we see somebody when we see somebody that has a growth on their forehead, or they're 4 foot tall, or they're morbidly obese, we're not attracted to them because we don't want to reproduce with them. There's something about them that we're frightened of it. We're steered away. Nature steers us away. I'm not proud of it, and we shouldn't be proud of it, but this is what's built into our reptilian brain. It's not like, oh, that guy's fat, he's not good looking, I don't want to have sex with him. It's deeper than that. There's a thing about getting the good genes and separating the good genes from the trolls and the ones that have, you know, serious abnormalities and all that. That's why we're freaked out by it. It works the same emotionally. When somebody appears to be crazy, we feel it. We may not be psychologists. We may not have majored in anything in college. But yet, even lay people smell crazy. We feel crazy on other people. We have antennas that feel crazy. And we're not attracted to it unless we're crazy ourselves. See, if you're crazy, yeah, then you're attracted to crazy. If you're sane, you just sort of feel it. And Jillian Barbary is beautiful, successful, has a great motor. All those things, the things that drive her will make her very successful in life, but it's tough on relationships. We feel that manic energy. We feel that
energy,
crazy.
Are you intimidated by a woman
you know what? It's hard to quantify. It's not like, and people try to, like, well, you're just intimidated because she's dynamic. No. It's not that. There is a crazy that comes off of some women and off of some men that freaks out the people that aren't, that makes us recoil, and that's why they have difficulty having relationships, unless, of course, there's someone else who's crazy, in which case they're wildly attracted to it, but the relationship doesn't last. So their choice is between dating crazy and then just having succession of 3 week relationships with sane people who freak out at some point.
I feel like maybe I gave the wrong advice to Jillian. I think maybe she needs to raise her standards.
I think what she needs to do to actually, if she actually wants to get married, have a relationship, have a family, whatever, therapy. Get some therapy. Straighten out the crazy a little bit. You get to throw a tarp over the crazy. Dial it down just a little bit and focus. That'll work. It's not the guy. It's not that. And she shouldn't be dating some guy who's, you know, swinging a hammer for a living or tossing dirt out of a shovel. She deserves. She's smart. She's vivacious. She's beautiful. She deserves all that. She's not going to get that with the crazy Klieg light coming from her forehead. Got to turn that light off.
Oh.
Crazy Klieg light. Crazy Klieg light. Boom. Guys see that and we get stopped in our tracks. Uh-oh. We feel crazy. You guys feel it, right? You know what it feels like.
I know we got to take a break, so but this will be a conversation for another time. But let me say this. I know a lot of guys who like being with the crazy woman. And not just for 2 weeks. I mean, they are 2 years in, and they just are energized by lunacy. I don't know why. They love it.
Have any of them that are single, and maybe you can hook them up with Jillian?
That's what I'm saying. I'd love to do that.
It'd be nice, but I'll tell you, it's like in an action movie where the two diabolical, once in a while, the two evil guys get together. Eventually, one of them has to kill the other one off. They may be very attracted to crazy. A lot of guys are, and a lot of young guys are. You know, when you're 22, you want that crazy strippers, out of control, chaotic lifestyle, very novella-esque. But eventually, that doesn't lead to marriage and kids and stuff. And if it does, it just doesn't last. Crazy is a sprint. It's not a marathon, and the relationship's a marathon. You got to hook up with a marathoner. Okay. We'll take a quick break. Lemmy from Motorhead coming in. Also, this year, George Bush going to be calling in. That's a good booking by August. I would like to see him in studio, but whatever. Van Stone, the world's loudest band, is coming in. Ozzy's got a review. Jimmy Kimmel going to either come in or call in. We'll get to the bottom of that. All that after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Jimmy Kimmel coming on the show. Lemmy from Motorhead. Van Stone, the world's loudest rock band. Well, it's number three, and the number three band from the Palmdale area. They're nipping at number two's heels. Also, of course, news and sports. Ozzy has his last-minute Oscar picks. First, we're going to Vegas on the 9th, and we got to play some live Ask Us Rodeo. Jeff?
Yeah.
You're in Vegas?
Yes, sir.
You want to play with us live?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Sir is a good start.
Yeah. What do you do, Jeff?
Oh, I'm a building engineer out here.
Mm-hmm. tell us what a moment is.
A moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. A moment would be basically waking up in the morning. That's a good moment for me.
No, I mean, as it pertains to engineering.
Oh, man, no, not that kind of engineering. I'm just like a for a building itself.
Oh, you clean up feces in the stairwell.
Oh, not that kind.
All right. No, I got it.
Housekeeping crew that does that.
You got to understand, everyone has a rap, which is fine. I'm a building engineer, which means... Yeah, you
put that on the title, you know?
You got the master key. You let the old ladies back into the apartment after dementia sets in and clean the Once in a while, you have to let one of those holiday foggers go in the lobby. But all I'm saying is that's fine until someone starts asking you questions, and then it starts looking bad.
Oh, okay, I got it.
All right.
I got contractor's licenses and stuff.
Oh, all right, you're good. All right. You want to play live with us? All right.
Yeah,
so,
I do.
You ready to get started?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! Excited about going to Vegas on the 9th. Las Vegas, greatest city in the world. Sorry, Jeff. Sorry.
Yeah. What gives there?
What happened?
You said you were ready to go.
We're asking us.
Man, I didn't even know I was in there. I was listening to the music there. It's hard on the phone here.
Okay.
Cell phone.
All right. I'll cut you a little slack. We'll try again.
Okay. All right.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
Excited about the start of baseball season. No greater sport in my mind.
Yeah, it is great. I tell you, nothing better than kicking back, sucking down a brew, and eating some peanuts and watching the game.
Yeah, football though—that's the sport.
God, I can't believe football, man. I just wish it went longer.
I can't believe football doesn't now. You didn't weave me into it. You didn't talk about my playing days.
Jeez.
It's a 4.5. I'm gonna cut you a little slack because you're on the cell phone.
Right.
He wasn't terrible, but was he the best? Was he one of the best? No.
Again, we're looking for the best of the best of the first 5 people to call in.
Wow.
I'm hoping coincidentally that they will be the best of the best. Here's the thing, Jeff. I'll tell you what. I will put you on the alternate list.
Okay.
If there's a problem, if somebody gets busted for drug doping or something like that, they get their we will do taking blood and urine samples from all the contestants. We find out that somebody's been doping or has an illegal substance in them, we'll yank them out. Jeff steps
in.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You never know.
I'll be the only one in there. You'll lose all the rest.
All right, Jeff. Just I'm going to drop you down to a 3.5. You keep going. Hang
tight,
buddy.
You want to go for 3?
Hang tight.
All right,
hang tight. Let's see. Let's talk to Blake, see how Blake does. Blake?
Yes, sir.
Ready to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo?
Sure, why not?
All right.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
I got one of those Mac computers at home. I love it.
Oh, so do I. It's so much better than Windows.
Yeah, but, nothing runs on it. That's why I need the PC.
Well, get a PC then. I heard they're cheaper than Macs.
All right. I'm saying we're going. Ah, boy. I'm going to grow myself a mustache. No better facial hair than a mustache.
Adam, you would be the best-looking person in a mustache ever.
Yeah, but on the other hand, nothing more dignified than a beard.
Yeah, but beer, crap.
I like this guy.
I like his energy. He's really, he's like a stupid kid in a spelling bee who's had a couple of cups of hot chocolate and has whipped up a little bit.
Oh, thank you, Adam.
That's all right. No, Blake, here's the thing. This is, you're the Rudy of Ask Kiss Rodeo. Rudy, yeah. Not the size, not the speed, not the mental stability that you'd like in one of the players, but man, this guy's 110%. You know what I mean? And I'll use you as an example when I'm dressing down one of the guys that has all the gifts in Ask Kiss Rodeo. You know what I mean? When I pull the guy aside and I'm like, you know what, man? You got it all, but you ignore it. If you had 1/10 of the drive that Blake has, you could be the greatest Ask Kiss Rodeo player ever. But you're never going to do that because you're lazy. You know what I mean?
Is it like my turn to be on the good side of the Ask Kiss Radio now or something?
Oh, wow.
So you're like giving me an ego boost here.
Well, it's more like that sort of Special Olympics kind of ego boost. But, Blake, I like you.
Thank you.
I don't know how many we're going to end up with. Five?
Yeah, we got to be a little selective, though. I mean, these guys got to really be great.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Blake's got something called grit.
Right.
And that's something that you can't gauge.
Yeah. I'm going to put you on the list.
Cool.
Eh, so what? 10 people come out. We just pick five of them. Three of them aren't going to make it. Nice job, Blake.
Okay, so where's that?
It's going to be, we're going to be at the Palms. Where are we going to be at?
Yeah, we're at the Palms 3 to 7 on Thursday.
Yeah, Ghost Bar.
Okay.
Yeah, Ghost Bar.
Right. All right. All right, Blake. We'll put you on hold. Don't hang up. Let's try to get through a few more. Steven?
Yeah, I'm here.
You want to play some live Ask Kiss Rodeo?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! I'll tell you, nothing better than brown bagging it. Pack a nice lunch, make a beautiful sandwich, and bring it in to work with you.
Brown bagging. I love brown bagging, Adam. What was your favorite growing up? Let me.
Oh, questions. Christ, put me on the spot. I got to choose now between egg salad and pimento loaf because you've lost your train of thought? What's that?
I said anything you say would great. It doesn't matter the answer. The fact that it comes out of your mouth is truly great.
All right, he's righted himself. Let's keep going. Keep going.
I'm here.
I like, I use deodorant. I gotta say, I'm a stick man. I like to use the stick. I like the solid form.
Yes, the stick is good. It keeps you smelling great. I mean, you smell great all the time, but... You know, that little extra bit helps with the ladies, I think. Not that you need help with that either way.
On the other hand, the spray can is nice because I don't have to make contact with the pit.
Yeah, spray can is nice. You know, it's quicker a little bit, I find. Keeps the shirt
on
fire.
Hold on. He finds? You? You brought yourself into the mix.
I did? Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Steven.
Oh.
Not bad, but not great. And again, people are calling in. I'm not sure if you made the cut. Again, I'll give you an alternate status. If you want to show up, come down, check us out. Somebody pulls a groin. Somebody gets popped for blood doping. Something like that. You know what I mean?
Even an alternate status from you.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's a shame because he does his best work when the competition isn't going. He's a great, as they say in golf, he's great on the practice tee. You know,
right.
The driving range player. You know?
Right, right. Yeah. One more real quick. Hang on. Let's talk to Franz. Franz?
Hey, Adam, how you doing, man? You sound great on the TV and the radio, and I'm so glad I can talk to you today. I'm really looking forward to playing.
Thank you. Here we go.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
Best part of this show for my money, Ozzy. That guy is funny.
You know, Ozzy is the best. I love to bring in everybody, the common man. You are the uncommon man of the common man, Adam. I love it.
Yeah.
Oswald's the best.
Yeah, except for Big Tad. He's better than Ozzy.
Oh, Tad, I love Tad. I want him to come to Vegas. I'm going to have him put on some comfy shoes, take him down the strip, straight to the strip bar.
I love cable TV. It kicks satellite's ass.
Oh, yeah, man. That satellite, who needs that crap? Cable's the best. It's been around. It's been proven. We need more cable. Get that satellite. Shoot it out of the sky.
Yeah, although I do miss satellite if it was going to leave. I think I do like satellite better than cable.
Oh, yeah. Satellite's the best. Why do you want to get that crappy cable that doesn't work when you got the new technology that's going to bring the best stuff to your house?
I'm an American, and that's why I drive Detroit Iron. I love an American automobile. That's all I'll drive.
Absolutely. Henry Ford brought the car to the United States, brought it to America, and they're still doing it the best.
Yeah, except for the Japanese. They make a hell of a car.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they work hard over there. They got the worst work ethic, and, you know, Americans are lazy slobs.
All right. He's in. Bumpy, but effective.
Can I say... We're looking, again, for the best of the best. And I feel like he left a couple of opportunities out there on the floor. He
Look, we can't all be geniuses at this game like you, Dave.
Well, thank you. True, I agree. But I just want to say, just for the record, for future players, and if I can help him be a better ass-kisser, so be it. You left something out there, the cable versus satellite. You want to go ahead there and take that, whatever brings you to the world, Adam, you know, whatever delivers you to the world. You know, when you're talking about automobiles, you want to talk about that they should make a car, whoever names a car the Corolla, you know,
this is... I think they may have, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I look, first off, you know, hindsight 2020. It's easy for that for us to sit back and do our armchair quarterbacking on Monday morning.
You're
tough when you're out on the field. You know, it's just a different. It's a game. It's a fast game.
Yeah, Dave refuses to play.
Well, I think his huge ego and his adoring mother don't permit him from playing.
Incorrect, though. I did play. I just don't play competitive ass kissing.
Right, it's like Connect Four.
Right, I did do my exhibition, and I think I excelled.
It's not a hobby for him. It's more of an occupation, actually.
For Sheck?
Yeah.
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 Okay. We ready to take a break?
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's Big Tad. Coming up on today's Adam Carolla Show, Lemmy from Motorhead, an exclusive call from President George W. Bush.
I'm the king of America, man.
The loudest band in the world, Van Stone.
Show us your boobs for freedom.
Oswaldo has his Oscar picks.
These are gay movies.
And Adam's boyfriend, Jimmy Kimmel. All coming up. Stay tuned.
This is Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Let's get another Elvis Costello song in here. I like Elvis Costello, but that one's effed out. So many ones you don't get to hear so often. All right. Lots of show. The great Jimmy Kimmel. We have Lemmy from Motorhead. President Bush calling in. A little more Ass Kiss Rodeo. Ozzy. He's got to gonna do a little classic movie reenactment with Ozzy. Let's talk favorite movies, because obviously the Oscars are Sunday. There's overlooked movies. There's guilty pleasure movies. I watched 3/4 of Cliffhanger last night. I'm such a putz. I was scanning. I was combing through TiVo and noticed that Cliffhanger was going to be on. I've watched your movie 28 times. And it's sad. It's pathetic. You know what I like, though?
Don't you dare do that to yourself. I'm not going to stand
for it. Not going to beat me up?
No.
Thank you. We're talking about our favorite movies, or we're going to talk about our favorite movies, our least favorite movies. And whenever you do this, same thing happened when we had to pick our favorite songs and least favorite songs. They just keep going. It's hard to pick. And then you realize you need another section. You need a guilty pleasures section, because these are movies that you don't want to call great films. On the other hand, you like them. You want to mention them.
Should be an Oscar category, though.
Guilty pleasure?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really should be. And it should be a Grammy category too. It should be everything. Even television should have that as well. The Emmys, you know, they should all have the look. We're not saying this is fine art, but goddamn, Point Break. I mean, come on, that was exciting.
I was just gonna say, you know, and sometimes they name awards after memorable people who, you know, like the Vince Lombardi Trophy, the
right.
Super Bowl trophies, the Lombardi Trophy. This shall be the Swayze Award.
That's right. That's right. The Swayze Award. What is it? It's a TiVo with a box of Kleenex on top of it. I mean, of course, it's silver. It's not an actual TiVo. Point is, I thought we'd get into, I'll give you a couple of my favorites and before we move on with the show, and then we'll just keep going, and we'll get to everyone else's favorite and least favorite, too. Oh, and then, you know, you start thinking, you start talking to people, and they're like, yeah, what about this one? What about that one? All right, here we go. Election.
Oh, yes.
I love that movie, Election.
Spectacular, yeah.
It really was. For a sort of quiet movie, it was great. No sound, you know, no big effects, no anything like that. Everyone is a very, very quiet movie, but yet very effective. I really enjoyed that. And if you haven't seen it, trust me. And don't have it be one of these things where I have to keep arguing with your ass. You know, I have to keep coming back and saying, did you see Election? I'm telling you, it's a good movie. Well, you know, because people decide they don't want to see a movie before they see it, and then they'll never see it. Election, Reese Witherspoon, she's nominated.
Well, the greatest straight man of our generation, Matthew Broderick.
He is really good.
He's
in
awesome.
That. Broderick is great in that. Reese Witherspoon is spectacular in that. And go out and see Election. What do you think that movie is? 6 years old? Five, six
right.
years old? Of course, you got your Pulp Fiction. Now, here's a quiet one. Here's a quiet one. Breaking Away. This took place in Dave Damashek's adopted town.
Bloomington, Indiana.
That's right.
Where I did my undergraduate studies.
Dennis Quaid stars. It's an old movie, but you know, the thing that was funny is I was looking at some sort of critics breakdown from like 1979 or 1980. It had Kramer versus Kramer, number one. Number two was Breaking Away, then Manhattan. Then Apocalypse Now. I mean, when you look at the breakdown of the movies from 1979 to 1980, the ones that had the most critical acclaim, Breaking Away is above Apocalypse Now and Manhattan and a bunch of other really notable movies. I was surprised
to
see that yesterday.
Well, one thing's for sure, all four of those movies you just named are better than any of the five that are nominated this year. I like this game better as a result.
Good point. All right, we need to take a break. We have news. We have sports. We have a ton
Bush is
of
show. Calling in.
Bush will be calling in.
Ooh.
Van Stone, the world's loudest rock band, number three band from the Palmdale area. And Ozzy, oh, all that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM. Jimmy Kimmel on the show. Lemmy from Motorhead. President Bush hopefully be calling in. Ozzy is going to do a little Oscar roundup. Plenty of show to go. But first, it is time for the beautiful Rachel Perry and her news.
A Michigan teacher was suspended and escorted from the school because a student produced an explicit film about the dangers of MySpace. MySpace is all over the news. Another a student in Costa Mesa, California, used MySpace to create a hate website against a girl, and now he's facing expulsion. But 20 other kids got two-day suspensions for even just looking at the website.
Wow.
Yeah, MySpace. Friendster's totally pissed that they're not as popular anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if kids are dying to communicate with each other. When you're like 15, all you want to do is blabber back and forth
but
and
not
talk
in
crap
person.
About everyone, but not in person. Well, think about it. If you had the ability to threaten somebody, I mean, there's two things that are scary as hell when you're 15, especially as a guy. Talk smack about somebody else because you might get pummeled, and ask a girl out. And these are all the things you get to do now with the computer. Wow.
I don't get it, though. This MySpace phenomenon has eluded me. It's the same as the TV show JAG. That show was on the air for like 12 years or something. I never saw 3 seconds of it.
I know. It was in the top 10 every week for the last 300 years that I'd never seen. Catherine Bell's doing photo spreads on every magazine and JAGs. No.
Yeah,
never mind. Never saw it. Yeah, that and Walker, Texas Ranger. All right.
Murder, She Wrote. Another one.
I love this. So the Pentagon is funding research to put neural implants into sharks so they can become stealthy sea spies for us.
Oh, really?
Patrol the oceans.
Wow.
How is that going to work?
Well, I'll tell you how it's going to work. We're going to put these implants into the sharks, artificial intelligence, eyes and ears of the man. Oh, it'll go fine for a while, but eventually the intelligence will take over and the sharks will start plotting against us. Now we got an epic movie on our hands. Deep Blue Sea 2. Sharks getting smart, smarter than man. They work together. And they get opposable dorsal fins, which allow them to use crude tools. And now, it's on. It's us against the sharks. It's only one man who can save us. A little man by the name of Vin Diesel.
little man?
Well, he's not a tall man.
No.
Yeah.
But he's a man.
But he's a man, nonetheless.
Diesel versus Jabberjaw.
That's right.
Awesome. Gary Glitter is going to be spending the next few years in a Vietnamese prison for committing obscene acts with a 10 and 11 year old girls. Also he has to pay them $320.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, King's ransom.
Yep.
That's got to be lovely being in a Vietnamese prison. Here's the whole thing. Say what you will about this country. We're the worst. We're the bullies. We're everything else. Just go hang out in one of these other countries' prisons for a couple of days. See how you enjoy yourself. It's perfect. A lot of them, you don't get fed unless your family comes and feeds you. It's beautiful. It's all it's all Midnight Express stuff. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Sure, his family's very proud.
And of course, he claims he didn't do anything. American Idol was on last night. Four more losers kicked out of Idolland. And I actually picked three out of the four. But the one that I missed was me just hoping that Ace got kicked out, the cheesy guy with the long hair. And then he gives the loving looks to the... And I wanted Sway to stay in. He looks like Odd Job.
Yes.
But unfortunately, he got kicked out. the guy that looks like Harry Connick Jr., David, who annoys me, he got kicked out. I picked him. Heather got kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
This is her. Never mind. Heather got kicked out, and also Brenna, the annoying one, she got kicked out. The Oscars are this weekend, and finally, videotaped came out earlier this week of video conferences that showed the president was aware of the impending devastation to come from Hurricane Katrina. The latest development is that the National Weather Service received a report just after 9 a.m. on the day that Katrina hit. But around noon that same day, the Louisiana governor, Kathleen Blanco, said that that the levees had not been breached.
Yeah. Well, here's the whole thing. I think in the past, we didn't have a way to check up on all our politicians, and it was considered in poor taste. You know, Kennedy got to bang his way through the White House. Nobody said anything. People effed up, and there were scandals all the time, but there was no videotape of anything, no recordings of everything, anything, so we just kind of let it go. I've always assumed that politicians are sort of subpar intelligence, inept, and possibly crooked for the most part. That's why they're all there. It's not like they're all bad now. It's like we have videotape of all of them now. If we had videotape of the last 200 years, I'm sure we'd see a lot of guys taking bribes and being F-ups, too. It's sad. I don't. We need a higher class of person in there, at least smarter. It doesn't
Bill
seem.
Bill Clinton was a genius. He made one mistake. He did the one thing that he had to lie about, but it didn't affect the nation's security, unlike our current president.
Well, I don't know. A lot of people would say he dropped the ball when it came to Al Qaeda and many of the terrorist threats that were looming. But let's not argue over that. I think Bush is actually on the phone. Talk to him, Mr. President.
Hey, guys.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. I've defended you as much as I could, but it's been tough lately.
Yeah, I mean, with Demon Check over there.
Yeah.
That guy's number one sports. Number one deadly, man.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Like getting beaned at the plate every time you're up, this guy's...
Yeah. Well, he's Jewish. He's very liberal. You know, he doesn't like the man.
Roger Clemens throwing at his son, man.
Yeah. No, it's tough. Look, I got to say, I've been looking at the approval ratings that I would argue once they slip below 50% become disapproval ratings. But it's at an all-time low for you, sir. It really is sad. And the whole thing, I think a lot of it stems on the whole hurricane thing.
What's it down to, like 90-something?
No, it's down into the 30s, I think.
30s?
Yeah.
Well, on the Celsius scale, that's almost zero, right?
Right, but I think we're going Fahrenheit here. But point is they're all-time lows, and I think the videotape of you actually being made aware of the levees and the hurricane and all that, I don't think that helped at all.
The what?
The levees, you know, that had been breached. And now there's videotape that you were briefed on that. And you
there's
came
videotape
out.
Of that, huh? Is it doctored, maybe? Or
now it looks like real videotape to me, and it would just...
Not like a video game where somebody said, we'll make graphics of the president, and
I know.
Real thing?
Well, you can joke about it, but I think a lot of people, in their minds, that makes you a liar.
Well... Lying is just another form of the truth, you know. It's an incorrect form, but it's still there, man. I haven't seen that. I watch a different kind of news. I watch that stuff with Pat O'Brien.
Right, the entertainment stuff.
I may not know. I don't even know what a levy is. I've been trying to figure out that since that song American Pie came out. But
yeah.
The levees were dry. Good old boys drinking whiskey and rye. I guess that was me, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they drove their Chevy to the levee.
Yeah. I know what a levee is now. It's a problem with my presidency, man.
Yeah, who knew? Bit in the ass by something you didn't even know from a Don McLean song from 1972.
9 minutes and 54 seconds, I believe, is one for
that's a long song. What about Dick Cheney? How about that whole story? That can't be helping your approval rating.
Wait, let's not talk about Mr. Cheney gets angry, man.
Oh, really? You don't want to rile him?
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
I mean, you feel like maybe if he heard you talking about him, he might find you in his crosshairs?
That, you know, there's a guy walking behind him that just yells, pull.
Really?
Yeah.
Has he done you ill in the past or something?
No, I fell down the stairs. What are you talking about?
Oh, wow. Could have been pushed. I see. Interesting. Yeah, it's got to be tough. Guy, you got a guy who's going to take your... He's your understudy, essentially. He's going to be the most powerful man in the free world if something happens to you and he totes a shotgun, likes to booze, and has horrible eyesight. Think about that.
Yeah,
that's a dangerous combination.
Sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy t-shirt, man.
Seriously.
If you do all these things, you might be vice president.
It is kind of funny that the guy's going to take your place, shoots people, and probably has an evil twin somewhere. All right. So what about Cheney? Do you think he was drunk at the time, and you think he has an alcohol problem?
No, I don't think so. I think he has an aim problem. I think he's I think it's any time you go out with a gun and you're you got to have a beer to, you know, settle yourself down, calm yourself.
Right.
And then you just shoot, and what you hit, man. I flipped in the bird. He shot the wrong finger. Think about this guy, man. That's just Mr. Cheney, man. That's what he is.
Wow.
Dave Damaschek, number one sports.
He certainly is, and it's time to get to him. I want to thank you for calling in, Mr. President.
All right, thank you.
I know you have a busy schedule. Thanks for taking time out.
He crest out.
All right. Well, he seems pretty jovial, considering his approval rate.
Good humored. Surprising.
Yeah, not a bad guy. All right, now time for Dave Damaschek in the sports.
It's time for Dave Damaschek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA basketball shall be played tonight. And the Phoenix Suns, riding their 8-game win streak, are at home playing the Magic. So poorly named. Please put an S at the name at the end of that. Your names must end in S, sports team. Yeah. The Magic. It's confusing grammatically.
Magics
people.
Suck too, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that a horrible name?
Let's just blow it all up and start from scratch is what I'm encouraging.
Sure.
Here. We need a different name. Yeah. Just Wildcats or something.
Yes. Also, pick a name. Pick a goddamn Badger or Wolverine or something. It's easy.
LA's top ranked NBA team, the Clips, they're up in Golden State tonight, while the Kobe's are in Utah. Pac-10 ball last night. 13th-ranked UCLA beat Cal in OT. That gives the Bruins at least a share of the Pac-10 crown. Their competition for the crown, the Washington Huskies, won themselves last night against Arizona State. Now, Ace, you're not the biggest fan of this news, but spring training baseball has begun.
Oh, I can't wait.
Only about 40 or so games of that, then you'll launch into the 162-game season.
Oh, there's nothing. There's nothing. For a guy who loves sports and a guy who loves action, nothing more excited than a morbidly obese guy in one of those pull-over, elastic, sweat warm-up things they inexplicably wear only in baseball, with the elastic on the cuffs and the neck that pull over the thing. Chewing seeds, standing around jawing and tossing the ball casually back and forth.
Well, if you've ever been to a spring training game, the worst thing about them is what steals from the gravity of the game is that some of the players that aren't actually in the game at the time run laps in the outfield.
Yeah.
Just it's kind of more out diminishes of, the excitement.
More out of boredom than anything else.
Yeah. Also, the big story in the sports.
And then we quickly get to the 162.
Right.
Game, the pivotal 162.
And for
boy.
The likes of me, what that means is fantasy baseball.
Oh, living.
Time is nigh.
Yeah.
The big draft coming up in a couple of weeks. I'll keep you apprised of how that works out.
Stuff.
Yes. Now, the big story in sports is the NFL labor strife. They decided to postpone the contract agreement that would have turned the NFL on its ear and caused a massive bloodbath, players being released here and there. But they've given themselves a few more days to try and work it out. I'll see if I can figure this business out, what the thing is. Obviously, the players want more loot. The NFL, the owners don't want to give it to them. So we'll keep you appraised of that. But more importantly, did you hear about this sick loser who called in a bomb threat? The Steelers were together watching in a movie theater the DVD release of their championship season.
Mm.
Someone called in a bomb threat.
It was Roethlisberger. He went 11 for 129, the QB rating of 7, and he called it in to get his teammates out of there.
Listen, I like to laugh as much as the next guy, but some things you don't crack wise about. Let me just say this.
Who would do that? Who would? What kind of animal would do that?
Well, believe me, I am putting together a crack team right now, much like Munich, inspired by Munich. I will put together Pittsburgh's finest. Now, the local government disavows any knowledge of what I'm doing.
That's
but
right.
But I'm putting together a crack team, and I will hunt these people down, and they will pay a very steep price. I assure you of that.
Good point.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Here's my thing about bomb threats. Usually, no bomb with the bomb threat.
It's
but
true.
One thing I've learned about our little war on terror, when bombs go off, they just tend to explode without a whole lot of fanfare at the beginning. Hey, let's go ahead and clear out of the Trade Center, folks. We're going to be flying a plane into it in about 20 minutes. So if you could pack up your work and just sort of button things up, if you could, go ahead and clear out, file out through the lobby. Yeah, they don't do that in embassies. They don't do that when they ram suicide boats into the coal. They don't do it. When the bomb is actually planted, usually they don't give you a couple days warning on it. Otherwise, it sort of ruins the whole surprise element of the bomb. You know what I mean? Mm. So I would argue that if you got the phone call that says there is a bomb, that means no bomb. I would say it's more dangerous when you don't get the phone call.
We have to leave now.
That's what I'm saying. Bruska, if we got a phone call with a bomb threat?
No, sir.
Okay,
oh
let's
God.
Clear out. Let's move.
Oh
move, people.
Play the skedaddle music.
men and hosts first. Let's go now. Yes, I would say if you go to a movie theater and you sit down, and 10 minutes goes by and you don't get a bomb threat, time to clear out. Al-Qaeda's not going to give us a heads up. It would be nice if they played by our Marcus of Queensberry of bomb threat rules, but they don't. It's just the guys who phone it in. No bomb. Interesting.
Speaking of phoning it in, I do want to say I'm going to be making a call at 9 o'clock. I'm going to get in touch with Janet Gretzky, the gambling guru, our gambling guru, just to see who she's gambling on with the Oscars later on today.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM. I want to welcome to the show Lemmy from Motorhead.
Thank you, Charlie. Oh, my public.
There he is. Nice to meet you, Lemmy.
Thank you.
I've always heard, I've never met Lemmy, although I've heard him spoken about many, many times because whenever they interview other bands, they always use him as the role model for rock and roll. This is what got everyone started.
Flatterer.
It's nice, isn't it?
It is nice, yeah, sure it is.
And he looks a little bit like Robert Shaw from Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, that's a compliment too, thank you.
Yeah, a fine, fine actor.
A fine actor, dead though.
Dead.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Still a better actor in death than Keanu Reeves is in life, I say.
How true.
Actually better. Or maybe it's a tie. I'm looking here. Lemmy, if you don't mind me saying, you smell of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
A little cigarettes, a little booze, a little B.O. going. You got it all happening.
I don't have B.O. I have cigarettes and booze.
Okay. All right, that's what
Lemmy is the personification of rock and roll.
Yeah, is that my sweater? No, maybe, okay, it's my B.O., but it's your cigarettes and your booze.
Certainly is.
All right. Where are you from, Lemmy?
I'm from Stoke-on-Trent in England.
And did you grow up poor in a coal mining town?
No.
Just after World War II?
Just after World War II, yeah, but...
Parents on the dole?
No.
Dad, abusive alcoholic?
Not for long, no. My father wouldn't dare to be an abusive alcoholic. My mother would have beat him up.
Oh, really? anywhere around Ozzy Osbourne or the stories in any way, do they anyway mirror his?
No. He had a tough childhood. I didn't. I had a fine childhood.
The thing that's funny about us to the Americans, I only recognize two British cultures. There's the upper crust, little Lord Fauntleroy, and then there's the tough, mean streets, smokestacks, billowing coal dust and stuff. I don't think there's any middle class over there, but you grew up in a middle class, yes?
Sort of, lower middle class, yeah, or upper working class, depends.
It says here, by the way, Motorhead's going to be at the House of Blues in Anaheim next Friday. 30 years the band's been going strong.
31 this year.
Oh, 31 this year.
Wow.
And a couple things. First off, in the Guinness Book of World Records for the loudest band, when was that recorded?
That was 81.
How do they do that?
Well, we did an outdoor festival, and we built the entire stage out of PA.
Mm-hmm.
We had 117,000 watts. Then Eddie was tuning up, and a guy called up from 4 miles away said he couldn't hear his TV.
Wow. That's rock and roll. Now, did the Who take your place or something? I thought the Who at some point got labeled the world's loudest band.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, I believe Manowar took it.
Manowar.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to get it back.
Oh, I don't really care. You know, as long as it's loud, I don't care if it's the loudest.
Well, let's get the loudest at the House of Blues next Friday. It says here, here's something I didn't know, that Lemmy was a former roadie for Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Is that when he went to England?
Yeah, well, 1967.
How'd that work?
Well, the only guy I knew in London when I went down there to try my fortune was a guy that used to work for The Who, in fact, and then he was working for Jimi Hendrix, but I didn't know that. And I said, could I crash on his floor, you know, because I had nowhere to stay.
Mm-hmm.
He said, sure, and I went over there, and he was working for Hendrix, sharing the flat with Noel Redding, the bass player.
And did you realize his genius that stage? I mean, did you say this guy's something special?
Oh, yeah, everybody did. Everybody.
So you saw, and didn't he get big in England before he got big here in the States?
Yeah, he couldn't get arrested, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. The guys go, I guess he's from Seattle. They can't get arrested here. They go to England, they become a hit, and then they come back with that juice underneath them.
Yeah, he was living in New York and playing in New York at the time.
Van Stone, the world's, I don't know if they're the world's loudest band. I think there was a Calypso band, acoustic Calypso band, that actually was louder than they were. But they're looking.
They aspire to be
the world's loudest band. And these guys are all, I mean, Lemmy's about rock and roll. But Van Stone is, they're nipping at Lemmy's heels. I got to tell you, these guys are about rock and roll. And they've come in, so we're going to bring them in. I'm not sure if they're playing. Ooh, look at them.
I think they're pretty jazzed.
Nipping at the flask.
To meet Lemmy. What a thrill for them, I would imagine, right?
Have you met Van Stone before, Lemmy?
No, it's all new to both of us.
Well, I'll tell you, these guys are going to give you an ass-kissing but good, because I got to believe. I mean, I haven't spoken to Van Stone about Motorhead or Lemmy, but I just got to guess by looking at them that they're huge fans. They probably worship at the altar of Lemmy from Motorhead. So they're going to, they're putting their nipples up against the glass already.
Well,
this is going to be exciting.
You've got to do something with your nipples.
They're the number three band from Palmdale, and nipping at the heels, the number two. So we're going to take a break. Lemmy, you hang out with us. We'll bring Van Stone in here, and we'll get this rock party started after this. And roll. Van Stone has joined Lemmy from Motorhead in studio. Motorhead
joined you, actually.
Thank you. They're going to beat the House of Blues at Anaheim next Friday. Van Stone, no. You guys aren't going to be playing unless you can kiss some Lemmy ass and they'll take you on tour with them.
Wouldn't do any good. We got an old girl band back in.
Well, look at their hair.
I can tuck it up. I can tuck it up between my legs.
I know, but it wouldn't be the same, man. You know.
Dude, I'm willing to do whatever it takes
to
play.
Believe me, I'd know.
Lemmy, man. Lemmy, you're like, you're like kind of like our demigod. You're our Lemmy god.
Like Demi Moore, is it?
Yeah, man.
Randy, Lonnie, and Hawk are all here from Van Stone, the number three band from the Palmdale area, right behind Scourge and Windjammer. Yeah,
we're more like 2.5 right now. You're
right there.
Yeah, the ratings have just come back in. It's pretty good.
We want to take you guys to Vegas with us, but you've been labeled undesirables. I don't know what the deal is.
By who?
Well, I think our program director, Jack Silver, over here at Free FM in Los Angeles. Jack?
Hey, Adam.
Are you there? Yeah.
What's
up? You don't like rock and roll?
I'm a big rock and roll fan. We're just out of hotel rooms, dude.
Oh, man, these guys got a van. They don't need a hotel
room. Actually, my mom's got a Nissan Sentra we tore in. It's not a van, but we fit everything in.
The seats recline is my point.
Yeah.
Well, if they want to drive their van up there, we can pencil them into the show. It's just all the hotel rooms are booked with the Spearmint Rhino chicks.
Wow.
Hey, you know what? Are you guys going to be partying at Spearmint Rhino?
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Awesome. I love Spearmint Rhino, man. You know, one time I actually ended up at the wrong place. It was Peppermint Zebra.
Uh-huh.
It was It was an all African male review.
Oh, yeah, different place.
Yeah, totally different place. But you got to tip just the same.
Sure, that's how they make their money.
I'm working on a stripper song called Stick the Tip In.
All right, Jack.
You know, it's a double entendre.
Right,
dude.
Right. No, really. It's gratuity and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm all about coins. Well,
you got
leprosy.
Keep the tip, right?
Yeah. There's only one place you can put coins with a stripper when you're tipping. You know what I mean?
I'm going to put Jack on a hold because his line is bad, but he doesn't have a problem with the rock and roll. He thinks the town is booked up, so we're going to have to work that out.
No, we slept in our car a lot. In fact, we're sleeping in our car out here. We slept here this morning because we wanted to get here on time.
Well, that's how it goes. I mean, that's how you begin in rock and roll, Lemmy. In the early days of Motorhead, you guys slept in vans, right?
No, we slept in the gutter. You know, we sleep anywhere.
Right.
Now you got a whole new generation of rock and rollers coming up on American Idol, right? You're a big Idol fan, Lemmy, I imagine?
I'm afraid not, no.
Not rock and roll.
It's not one of my favorite shows, no.
No, you don't need those pussies up there covering Mariah Carey songs.
The contestants.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you got. Here's the thing. You have a next generation of rock bands like Van Stone who are going to just pick up the rock torch and carry it for you.
Lemmy, I grew my facial hair just like you, dude.
I see that, yeah, but you're letting it grow back in the middle there. No?
Yeah, well, it's hard to find those small razors. I'm thinking about getting one of those new Fusions. No, they've
exactly,
got like five blades.
It's exactly,
you know what I mean?
The width of a Bic.
Oh, it's a total width of a Bic?
Disposable.
Right. Oh, that's cool. I got to look into that.
That's the only way I would do it. I'm too lazy to do it otherwise.
Randy, you're a big fan, obviously.
Oh, man, I've been emailing him on MySpace. You got a site on MySpace, right, Lemmy?
The thing is, I haven't got a computer, you see, so...
Oh, it's not really you?
No.
Oh, you got a lot of hot chicks on there, man.
Good. How'd you know? On the send pictures?
Yeah. I'm on there. We're on there, MySpace.
How'd you know it's pictures of them, though?
I don't know, man. That's the thing.
Anybody, couldn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like most of our fans are all like 13, 14-year-old boys, and I got like Nightline calling saying they want to have some expose on our band or something.
Right. Wow, Van Stone, you guys are going to rock for us live.
No, I want to prove to Lemmy that we deserve to play with him, man. We may be number three in Palmdale, but, I mean, Palmdale's kind of the mecca of the rock world right now. You know what
it
I'm
is?
Saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
I thought it was Bakersfield.
Well, I mean, we're south of Bakersfield, you know. It's kind of close.
They're number three. They're behind Scourge and Windjammer.
Yeah, that's right, you know. But Windjammers are great guys, but Scourge is jerks, man.
Right. We need to, we're running a little bit late. We need to take a break, but then when we come back.
Yeah, I got to take a crap.
Well, that's not why we're breaking.
Oh, really?
Where are you going to take it?
I just went.
That's rock and roll.
Sorry.
All right, well, I guess we don't have to break.
Yeah.
If Randy took a dump, we don't have to break.
Too late.
That's rock and roll. All right, hold on a second. You want, maybe Lemmy can take a crap in your guitar case and then sign it for you.
That'd be real.
You're going to watch the S word there. All right.
Well, sorry, you were the one talking about it.
You're right, I brought it up. We have strange rules here in America.
I don't care.
We'll take a break.
It's rock and roll!
All right, we'll hear something live. You see if we can impress Lemmy from Motorhead. We will do that live after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 1-866-901-ADAM. That's 1-866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show. You better call. This is MG. We got to go. Call the Adam Carolla Show now.
Lemmy from Motorhead in studio. Jimmy Kimmel coming up later. Also as Waldo.
Hey, you know, we were on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
I had not seen
Yeah,
the show
we were trying
yet.
To break the world's record for being the loudest band.
Now, you guys were the loudest band out of Palmdale for a while?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, were you dethroned by another band?
We were dethroned by a punk rock, death metal, Amish band called Corpses on the Cob, and they did it all with acoustic instruments.
All right, and the Calypso band is out of the... Is the Calypso band out of the mix?
No, that's Windjammer. They're number two, and they're great guys, man. They're really great guys.
Okay, so no bad
blood.
They hook us up at Jiffy
Lube. That's Randy Van Stone. He's in here with his brother, Lonnie Van Stone, and, of course, Hawk from Van Stone.
Wait, Hawk's not... Shut up, Hawk. You're not in the band. He's just a roadie.
Not in the band.
Well,
shut up, dude. Get off the mic.
Point is this is Van Stone. This is rock and roll. They're the number three band from the Palmdale area. Lemmy is here from Motorbed,
man. That's what he sleeps in, man. That's cool, man.
We used to do condoms. Go to bed with Motorhead.
We have a huge Motorhead fan here. Rob?
Yeah.
Fan of Motorhead?
Hi, Rob.
Yeah, fan of Adam and fan of Motorhead. Big time Lemmy fan. When I moved out here from New York back in April, I pushed my day back a couple of days because you guys were playing at BB King's. I had to see you one last time in Manhattan.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah, it was a great show. You actually trashed my ears with the ear.
Well, the crowd trashed us too, don't forget.
What happened?
There were so many people on stage, I thought I was in a choir.
Oh, really? A lot of people jumped on stage. I like that. And you let them hang out, or do you throw them off stage?
No, we throw them off. It's our stage. We earned it.
Nice.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you guys, 30 years, played all over the place, but there used to be this little asshole out in Suffolk County, Long Island. I used to go out to see you guys at Sundance in the 80s.
Right.
Like DRI and Anthrax, Megadeth. Right. But you guys played there several times, and it held about 300 people. It was a little bar, man. That was what it was about.
Yeah. The I-beam on it.
I'm not sure if that's a question. Yeah, I think it's more of a statement.
I'm asking if out of all the places he remember, if he possibly remembers. I mean, this place, you don't forget, the urine used to be up to your ankles within a half an hour after the doors opened.
They had a urine problem?
Yeah. That sounds like my mom's car.
That's rock and roll in that car. Lemmy, do you remember playing there?
Not specifically.
No, he doesn't. Come on, this is rock and roll.
Then we've done a few shows, you know.
Let me tell you, first,
I got to tell Rob something, man. You know what I'm saying? As rock bands, and Lemmy will talk to me, we don't do shows we remember. You know what I mean?
That's right.
If we remember a show, it's not a good show for us.
The first rule.
If you remember a show, it's the crap one, yeah.
Right. First rule of rock and roll is remember to forget. You understand?
I just walking to an ex-heroin addict who's been to a lot of shows, and I remember when I'm up to my ankles in urine. So
all right. Well, the point is you moved out to L.A., you found a work with seniors, and you're back on your feet.
Hey, Rob, you got to come to House of Blues and check out Motorhead, man. Right now we're trying to maybe get on the list, too, you know, Van Stone.
I'm there. I'm definitely there, without a doubt.
Yep, Tuesday at the L.A. House of Blues, and then Anaheim a week from today. All right.
All right. Adam, keep up the good work, man.
Thanks, Rob.
Hey, you know where we're going to be a week from today is Vegas, dude.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we're doing our show from Vegas.
That's right. You're no longer undesirable, right?
We're going to get Van Stone
we're
in there.
We're showing up no matter what, because we're going to be debuting.
That's entirely a personal thing.
It wasn't our first choice. Hawk, what were the other choices we had for that?
Henceforth and forthwith, Two in the Pink shall no longer be known as Two in the Curtain, One for the Hurtin'.
Mm-hmm.
Two for the Taco, One for the Paco.
Off the cushions and into the clay.
Or that. Stabbing One for the Cabin.
All right, stop bleeping us out. This is rock and roll. Come on.
Oh, it was all bleeped?
No. Only 7/8 of it was.
Yeah. Two for the bleep, One for her sheep.
I gotta say,
Two in the Snapper, One.
Yeah, two for the bleep, one in wrist deep.
All right, this is spinning out of control, everybody. Let's reel it in. I'd like to hear a little Van Stone. I know you guys are known for your live performances.
Oh, man, our live performances are awesome.
You're a rock band, but you can hang acoustically because you're musicians.
Yeah, right. And you don't have the facilities to plug our guitar in, our Battle Axe guitar.
Right.
Lemmy, was that a cool Battle Axe guitar or what?
Yeah, it was.
I like how you're to the point, man.
That's a beautiful guitar.
Yeah.
It's really cool, man. I just want to, you know, prove to Lemmy that Palmdale deserves to be on the map. We deserve to be with Motorhead and the fans.
It is,
man.
On the map, isn't it?
Well, it's on the map, but it's, you know.
Yeah. The rock and roll map,
I haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, not the map you find at the library, the rock map.
You can map quest it, I guess, you know. So I guess it's
technically on the map, but you know what it means. All right, you guys going to rock a little, and if you impress Lemmy, maybe he'll pick you up and take you on tour.
Yeah, thanks, dude, thanks, because I really appreciate this, Adam, giving us a chance to suck up to Lemmy here. And, I'm just saying, Lemmy, this is our lifestyle. It's called Palmdale, USA, and it's about the whole town of Palmdale. And give us a shout-out, Palmdale. Here it is.
You got to play keys for me?
No. Oh, yeah, keys. Not keyboards.
We didn't bring Mr. Bones. We doing.
I'm playing my car keys, my mom's car keys.
She's got the Sentra, did you say?
Yeah, Nissan Sentra, okay. 87. It's nice.
It's a good ride. Car cars.
Shit. It's cool. Off the mic, dude. You're not in a band.
He's checking my mic.
I don't care.
Give me some keys.
All right, cut the keys out. That sounds like crap.
What?
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Bombdale, USA.
We're living in
Bombdale, USA.
We're rocking in
Bombdale, USA.
We're dying in
Bombdale, USA.
There's a little town not far from here with non-stop buddies, bud and beer. Where men are men and chicks are hot. And the good times never seem to stop. It's the law of the land. Just do what you care. Live your life any way you dare. Founded on freedom, the American way. Anything you want, any time of day. Yeah.
Bombdale, USA.
We're living in
Bombdale, USA.
We're rocking in
Bombdale, USA.
We're dying in
Bombdale, USA.
All day and screw all night. We live to rock and we love to fight. Don't take no lip from anyone. We settle our problems with a gun. We're simple folks with simple needs.
Cocaine, meth, beer, pills, and weed.
The American flag's tattooed on my chest. Try to take my freedom, we'll fight to the death.
Bombdale, USA.
We're living in
Bombdale, USA.
We're rocking in
Bombdale, USA.
Oh, we're dying in
Bombdale, USA. Bombdale, USA.
Oh, we're living in
Bombdale, USA.
We're rocking in
Bombdale, USA.
Oh, we're dying in
Bombdale, USA.
Bombdale, USA.
Bombdale, USA.
What do you say, Lemmy? Come on.
That was truly awful.
Oh, my God.
Wait.
Hold on.
Olay.
Lemmy. Van Stone. I mean, that's acoustic. It's 8 in the morning. The guys have a buzz from last night.
They still up from last night.
That's what I'm saying. You got to cut them some slack.
Yeah, yeah, we never even went to bed.
Yeah, if they were up at the House of Blues and it was, you know, 8 o'clock and they're warming up the crowd for Motorhead and they're all plugged into their amps and everything playing that battle axe guitar.
I did want to have a little bit more Jack to drink out of Lemmy's flask, but his assistant Steve said Lemmy needs it.
See, that's his flask, you see. It's not mine.
Oh, yeah. That's how you get away with it.
I'd like to defend our performance. This guy's been playing in front of 160,000 watts for the last 50 years. You can't hear crap, man.
I can hear crap.
Oh.
I didn't say I heard it then.
Wow.
All right. Lemmy, yeah, it's like American Idol, man, really. Well, give us your honest opinion, man. We're Van Stone. We're number 3. We want to be 2.
I mean Cowell.
In Palmdale.
We want to be number 2 in Palmdale, man.
Palmdale, yeah.
Can you be a little more Paul on us than that Angry Limey, though?
Yeah.
What Angry Limey?
Simon.
Oh.
They're looking for some, you know, put the kid glove on before you give them this.
See, what I'd like to hear him play the flute.
Well, we haven't exactly rehearsed the blues. It's pretty.
You want to see some versatility out of the band,
it's a very
Lemmy?
Complicated.
Hey, Lonnie. Lonnie can go out in the parking lot and kick me in the balls a few times. We'll come back in.
Yeah,
that's not the blues. That's just pain.
That's the black blues.
Blue balls.
Yeah.
All right, so Lemmy, you don't think these guys are fit to go out on tour with you guys?
Well, see, we got bands booked on our tour.
Right, but you know,
maybe the next one. Who knows?
Right.
Yes!
All right.
Yeah!
Yeah!
We're on the air!
All
we're
right.
On the air! Finally, a real tour, man!
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! This is great. Okay. Guys, just reel it in.
All right.
Listen, Van Stone, you guys got to prepare for the next Motorhead tour then, obviously.
I got to start stretching right now, man, for my high kicks.
You got work to do.
David Lee Roth impression.
Now, I want to thank Lemmy for coming in here. Motorhead is going to be at the House of Blues in Anaheim a week from Friday and at the L.A. House of Blues coming up on Tuesday.
And at San Diego and Las Vegas, too.
Oh, really? Really? San Diego and Las Vegas.
San Diego on the 9th and Las Vegas on the 11th.
Go see Motorhead, and then when they wind this tour up, before they head out again, they hook up with Van Stone.
They're going to be opening up for Van Stone!
I've been looking forward to that for a long time.
A dream, a culmination of a life's work for Lemmy. Opening for Van Stone.
My cup runneth over.
Flask, as it were. I want to thank Randy Van Stone and Lonnie, and of course Hawk, who I found out is not in the band.
Hey, just for the record, Lemmy was just a roadie at one time, too. And
that's right.
Now he's Lemmy.
That's right. So
I was Lemmy then, too.
There's a hope for Hawk after all.
Yeah, but Lemmy's got
Lemmy
talent,
the roadie.
Hawk. You don't.
I don't plan on dying on my own throw-up.
Yeah.
Hawk, so,
Van Stone, we'll see you in Vegas in a week. This is exciting. You guys are going to unveil a new song.
It's Lonnie. I don't want to bring up anything bad, but where's your old lady, Sunny Lane?
I had to leave her back at the apartment.
She's on penicillin right now or something.
She brought your porn star in last time.
She's shooting a movie later on today. So
she'll be around in Vegas.
She had to go to the store and get some products, you know.
She's got a real important scene and she wants to prepare.
She's playing a cop in She Bangs Part 2, so.
Okay. We'll take ourselves a little break. Jimmy Kimmel. Coming in, Ozzy.
Smothered
again.
In sequins and Jiffy Lube. I can imagine it, yeah.
Lemmy, thank you once again.
It was
a pleasure. Van Stone, you guys always rock, even acoustically. Look for them in Vegas in a week, and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's Big Tad. Don't go anywhere. More coming up on the Adam Carolla Show. Jimmy Kimmel. Adam and Ozzy reenact classic movies.
Forbidden Love.
Coming out of the closet.
So don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Dave Coulier. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
And tell him Dave's package sent you.
Jimmy Kimmel coming up on the show. Oswaldo in studio. Old construction buddy.
You and Kimmel cool?
Yeah, we're okay.
Any sore feelings because you got the radio gig? Whatever happened to that dude?
He's writing. I think he's working on stuff.
He's got a couple irons in the fire.
Yeah, you know.
Good for him.
Listen, Jimmy's Jimmy.
Again, the rule of thumb, when you hear it twice, replace the second time you hear the name with a-hole, and your math will work out. when people ask, what was it like working with Bob De Niro?
You know... Robert De Niro.
Again, do a-hole, and you'll have done the correct math.
Ozzy's...
See, I don't repeat it with Ozzy. He's salt of the earth. He's wearing an ESPN shirt I'm guessing I gave him some years ago. I like to see when Ozzy's wearing one of the shirts I gave him. Yeah?
Hundreds.
How many T-shirts have I given you over the years?
Hundreds.
Okay. We're doing a little Oscar work because, of course, that's coming up on Sunday. We're talking about favorite movies, least favorite movies. We had everyone bring in theirs. I brought in a couple. I talked about a few earlier in the morning. Election, Breaking Away, Pulp Fiction, of course. Had a couple more I'd like to add to my favorites list. Fargo.
Ooh.
There's a good movie. William H. Macy, great in that. And Reservoir Dogs. And then a movie that I think was groundbreaking, Raising Arizona. Not only funny, but the way the movie was shot. Amazingly, the camera work in that movie, where it went, you know, going across the desert, goes up the ladder, goes up to the second story of the nursery in the kid's bedroom, goes into the nursery. Rachel, you ever see Raising Arizona? Oh, that is... It's to call it a comedy doesn't really just do it justice. It's much more interesting than just a comedy.
But right. That said, hilarious.
Hilarious, but almost as interesting as it is hilarious. Ozzy?
Hi, how are you? Adam.
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 There you go, buddy. It's ADAM.
Almost.
Yeah, 16 years we've been working on this. We've gotten nowhere. Adam.
Ace.
All right. We have a new custom intro because Ozzy's going to be doing his Oscar roundup of best films. He saw every one. He saw Crash. He saw Good Night, Good Luck, Munich. Although I like the way. How do you pronounce Munich, Ozzy?
Munich.
Munich. That's right. Capote, Brokeback Mountain. He's seen them all. He's going to tell us, he's going to give us a little summation of it and give us his favorite. So, first, a no expense spared new intro for the Ozman.
Oswaldo. Tell us about some
Oscar predictions.
We want to know is
Oscar predictions
you have
made.
Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Or good afternoon. It was good morning when the song ended and Brusca cued you. Now we're into the afternoon.
No, show me the finger.
Yeah, show him the finger, would
that
you?
That was my bad.
And then show him the door.
Today, I will be giving...
Hold on, I'm going to show him the back of my hand.
Oh, my God.
All right, here we go. Go, Ozzy. Give him the finger, would you, Brusca? There
today,
you go.
Today, I will be giving you my pick for the 78 annual Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
I will start with best performance by actress in a leading role.
Mm-hmm.
The nominees are Judi Dench, Felicity Huffman.
Hold on. Who?
Felicity Huffman.
Let me say something, Ozzy. I know we get into this each and every time. These are names. They're not really open to debate. They're names. That's the person's name. Your name is Oswaldo Castillo.
Yep.
It's not Ashoko Skibal. It's Oswaldo Castillo. That's your name. It's Felicity Huffman. These are her...
Felicity Huffman.
Okay.
He just wasn't trying.
I'm just saying it's not really open. You know, my name is Adam. It's not open to debate. There's just one way to say it. There's not... You know, you do your own, you know, tomato, tomato. It's Felicity Huffman.
Yeah, Felicity Huffman.
Okay.
Is William H. Macy.
Glad we got that straightened out. That's right.
Keira Knightley. Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
And Reese Witherspoon.
Okay. And who was the first? Who was the first lady who was nominated?
Judi Dench.
Okay. Judi Dench.
My pick for the best actress is Keira Knightley.
Mm-hmm.
In Pride and Prejudice.
What's the name of that movie?
Pride and Prejudice.
Prize and Prejudice?
Prejudice.
Okay.
What's
did you
prize?
See this movie?
Huh?
When did you see this movie?
I see it 3 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, for checking, you know, the number, you know.
Okay. He went down to Hoover and Alvarado and bought a bootleg.
I see.
That's how he does it. He's got all the Ivory Merchant stuff on bootleg.
Yeah, you know,
just passion.
You know, because, you know, she was so good in the movie.
Yeah, I understand. So you like her the best.
Yep.
All right. Who's next?
Next is best performance by actor in leading role.
Mm-hmm.
The nominee are Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Another husband.
Hoffman.
Right. Felicity Terrence, husband and Seymour husband. Right.
Terrence Howard. Heath Ledger. Joaquin Phoenix.
Hold on. Heath Ledger.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And David Strathairn.
Right.
My pick for best actor is Heath Ledger in Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, play a guy gay, you know. Very good.
You played a good gay guy?
Yeah.
A guy gay?
We did by the way, you're not doing as many you knows as we used to hear out of you. We tabulated your last appearance in the you know count. I think it was 47, was
right.
It not?
Yeah, so far you got them up to 8.
You're only at 8. We're halfway into the review. Let's pick it up with the you knows, Ozzy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I pick up.
Pick this nose.
Finally, my pick for best motion picture of the year, the nominees are Brokeback Mountain, Capote, Crash, Good Night and Good Luck, and Munich.
Mm-hmm. Munich. That's right.
Munich.
It's a city.
You know, the pronunciation in Spanish, you know, is Munich.
It is?
Yeah.
So if you were in Mexico and you were going to go to...
I know from Mexico.
I know, but I'm just saying, let's suppose you're visiting Mexico.
Oh.
It's all Mexico to us.
Yeah.
We don't have time to sort out the map with the South America and the Central America and all this. We don't know the difference between Nicaragua and Honduras. We just don't. We're ugly Americans. It's all Mexico to us. So if you're in your motherland, your beloved Mexico, and you're going to Munich, you would say, I'm buying a plane ticket to Munich?
Yeah, Munich, yeah.
All right.
This is the pronunciation.
But here's the real question. What do they call it in Munich? Because that's how it should go.
München.
Is that what they call it?
Right.
All right, then that's what we should call it, right?
I agree. I don't know who decided that we get to rename cities.
Yeah, well, or what about them? What about the Mexicans?
And I don't understand the thing where someone's name is George, but you call them Jorge. Like, oh, but that's George. That's yeah. George in yeah. Spanish.
I know, it's
well,
a name.
Call, if my name was George, you called me Jorge, I wouldn't respond to
and
that.
That's the other thing, too. Like, if you have a Sentra, it's not called a Prius in Mexico. It's still called a Sentra. It's just that's the name of the car. It's a Sentra. It doesn't matter where it drives. You could take a Nissan Sentra. You could take the, that's the car that Van Stone travels in. Their mom's 87 Sentra. I think it's turquoise. Mm-hmm. You drop it anywhere on the planet, it still should be a Sentra. You don't get to rename it. The, all right, Ozzy.
The people in the specification, you know, say Nissan.
Okay. Here we go. So, Munich?
Munich, yeah.
Yeah.
My pick for best motion picture of the year is Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time I watch this movie, I cry and something happened inside me.
Wow. Feelings you never had before?
I don't know, you know.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
It's difficult, you know. In conclusion,
certainly we felt that spark between each other when it was 9 a.m. and we were in my garage and you were handing me a beer.
Man,
yeah.
Don't remember me this feeling moment.
Yeah, I don't remind you. Yeah.
In conclusion, this Oscar pick lets this reviewer call.
Wow.
seems odd.
He says it's so sexy now.
Yeah.
Left it.
They broke out mountain.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Nice work, Ozzy.
Thank you.
And that was Oswaldo's
Oscar predictions.
We hope you did not end up too confused. Oh, no, Oswaldo.
Jimmy Kimmel coming up on the show. Ozzy's going to hang out. We're going to actually recreate some famous Oscar moments with me playing one role and Ozzy playing the other. News, sports, more favorite movies, least favorite movies. We have the staff's favorite and least favorite as well. We'll get to all that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You got to give me the finger. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Where do you want it?
Yeah.
I got distracted.
With Van Stone. All right. Pre-op, board op. Okay, Bill. Thank you. I'll tell you, I like you. You know why? Because you take your gay handicap and you have fun with it. You don't look at
handicap.
It as a well, I don't know. You know what I mean.
Lemonade.
I don't,
lemonade. What? It's a gay lemonade.
You're making lemonade out of your gayness.
Yeah. Pucker up.
You want to drink right.
Hopefully
you're
not
saying,
with his penis.
Wait a minute.
You can't.
Did we just get bleeped out there again?
You can't.
Stop
I said
bleeping
drink
us out.
Lemonade.
All right. All right.
I love lemonade.
All right. All right. The guy who's doing the dump button as a very.
And you know what? Can I say ironically enough that it's called a dump button? Can
yes.
we say dump? Button?
That's a good point. Well, here's the thing. He's like a Burbank traffic cop. He gets paid for each time he hits that dump button. There's a quota. They don't tell us about it, but there's a quota. I always like when they do that. Do you guys have quotas? Do your motorcycle cops have quotas? No, we don't have quotas. We just have a certain amount of tickets they have to write each month. Okay. So, no quotas, but if the guy rode his motorcycle back and said, Chief, I wrote no tickets today, he'd be fired, right? So, I would argue that that may be, in fact, a quota. Ozzy and I are going to do a reenactment from a famous film, namely Pulp Fiction, in a couple. Steve?
Yeah.
You want to play a little Germany or Florida with us?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Germany or Florida?
I must add that the great Jimmy Kimmel is going to be on soon as well. Steve, go ahead.
Okay. Local police discovered the bodies of four men and two women. All had been stabbed and beaten with baseball bats, some so brutally that they could not be identified by dental records. All had been killed in their sleep, along with a pet dog. Mm-hmm. According to police, the slayings were committed because of a dispute over a video game console. According to reports, the sequence of events began last month when one of the victims went to a vacant home used by her grandparents as a winter getaway. Once there, she discovered several squatters living at the house. Mm-hmm. Upset, she kicked the squatters out of the property and took the belongings they left behind, which included a video game console, back to a nearby house she shared with friends. Mm-hmm. Late Friday night, four of the squatters reportedly entered the house armed with aluminum baseball bats. According to confessions made by teenage suspects, they proceeded to beat and stab everyone in the house to death, including the dog. After they surveyed the bloody scene to confirm everyone was dead, they grabbed the video game console and departed.
Hmm. Yeah. I would argue that most people who are murdered are murdered for under things that have less than $100 in value, ironically and sadly. You know, whether people get robbed and shot at liquor stores for $14, yeah. people get their wallets taken for that have less than $100, video games, things like that. Ironically, most of these things, and I'd like to live in a society where there's high price hits being put on people, but all insurance fraud and all that stuff, it's all just for these nominal amounts of money. I mean, one video game. I think this story's like a year old, isn't it? I think I've heard this story before.
I mean, I think it's pretty, you know, the telling thing, obviously, is the
videos.
Is that it's a winter home.
I think there's no
winter getaways in Germany, I don't think. Otherwise, I would have to ask further questions. What is the video game? Because that would be telling, too. Is it Grand Theft Auto? Then I'm going Florida. If it's Die, Jew, Die, then it's probably Germany.
Grand Theft Schnitzel? That's a different game. Write that down, by the way, Bruska. That's a good idea right there. I like the guy who announces he has a $1 million idea. Write down Schnitzel, Grand Theft Schnitzel. Thank you. All right. So, I think I almost swore there. Is it Germany or Florida? Well, now I'm confused. I really don't. I don't know myself, but go ahead, Rachel Perry.
I would have said, I was going to go with the same. It's a winter home, Florida, for sure.
Feels very Floridian.
Yeah.
And also, here's the thing about the Germans. They're a diabolical people and a rangy people, but their crimes are sort of macabre and of the occult. They don't do these just sort of petty, everyday pedestrian kinds of beatings over video games.
Is there lots of squatters in Germany as well?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think they tolerate it in that land. Steve, I think we're all going to unanimously go Florida on this Germany or Florida. How say you, Steve?
Well, you did well. It is Deltona, Florida, and the video game console was an Xbox.
Wow. See?
Yeah. I think that's worth more than $100.
Or Florida.
I would make a commercial out of that if I was the Xbox people. Look, some people will walk a mile for a camel, but look at this. Bludgeoned like a Wonderland murdering up here.
Can't pay for that kind of advertising.
You really can't pay for that. All right, Steve.
Hey, Adam, can I plug rocketbook.net?
Yeah, all right. Go ahead. You called in yesterday with the Germany or Florida. Why not?
All right. Rocketbook.net.
All right. Well, that was it. He said it twice, right? All right. You called
more than
in.
Generous.
Give us another Germany or Florida, and we'll see where we get tomorrow. Jimmy Kimmel coming in or calling in. We've not really determined that. The crack staff over here hasn't been able to figure out whether Jimmy's calling in.
Big Oscar show on Sunday night. Jimmy Kimmel Live Oscar special.
And also, as Waldo is going to be coming in here, we're going to be doing a live recreation of Pulp Fiction. Also, I have more of my favorites and least favorite movies. Do you guys have any, by the way? What did you? I told you guys come in armed with your favorite and least favorite. You guys have them? Do you have them in your mind? What do you got? What do you got for your favorite, Damashek?
For favorite? Well, of course, the obvious ones. You know, I like the same movies everybody else. You could go Godfather, Goodfellas, The Great Gangster Pictures, Funniest Picture of All Time, The In-Laws.
Really?
It's a dynamite picture.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Peter Falk.
Holds up, huh?
Oh, spectacular. Spectacular. Mm-hmm. Alan Arkin, great. Mm-hmm. Recent years, I love a nice small picture, like You Can Count on Me.
Yeah.
Lovely story. Nice. Very touching.
Movie. Yeah.
It's a nice
love
movie.
Love that one.
That's
mm-hmm.
great. Of course,
please, L.O.R. Don't say Star Wars.
Lord of the Rings, I could say.
Nerdy.
Fellowship. If I were going, I'd go Fellowship of the Rings. I know. Now, there are people out there who'll go Two Towers. But
Two Towers.
Yeah. No,
they're Fellowship. Not getting laid, but yes, they're out there.
Yeah. Wow.
And look, I try watching those movies every. But first off, they just feel like one long Jethro Tull song. And I watch them for like 10 minutes at a time, and there's that little naked man who's like, and he's doing his thing, and it's grating on my nerves. What's his name?
Smeagol.
Gollum is doing his stupid, nerdy, grating voice, and he's all CGI'd up the wazoo, and I can't watch it.
Listen, I know how cool you are, but you're cutting your cool nose to spite your face.
All right.
It's a shame.
All right.
So it's the greatest 11 hours you'll ever spend to sit down and watch that trilogy.
What do you have? What's at the top of your list?
Well, if I were new school, I would go Lord of the Rings. But as you know, I'm old school.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm traveling back to the early 80s.
Wow, way back.
A sequel. This movie, Empire Strikes Back.
The one you saw with your sister?
Yes.
Sees every Star Wars with his sister when it comes out.
Empire Strikes Back, the greatest movie in the greatest trilogy of all time. That's right.
All right. What about worst? Do you have a least favorite?
Also, by the way, The Graduate also ranks. You know, it would be silly to not add that in.
Hold off on the least favorite 10-20. For now. Rachel, what do you have in the favorite department?
In the favorite department, I love Barbarella. I love
Barbarella.
It's an odd choice.
That is a crazy choice. I'm down with it. I mean, Jane Fonda running around in a bikini. To me, it's just crazy to see Jane Fonda do the whole sex pot thing, and then the next minute she's hanging out with the Viet Cong, burning American flag like 6 months later. A lot of range as an actress. I gotta give her that. But Barbarella.
Yeah, I like it. It's an interesting movie. It's funny. I like the way it looks. I like all her little costume changes. I like all the weird sets of like things that are pieces of plastic that are blown up and like the black ooze.
It's definitely artsy and funky and low budge and all that kind of stuff. But I would have never thought of that in a million years.
I love Breakfast at Tiffany's is definitely one of my favorites.
Mo Damashek's all-time favorite.
Love that movie.
As a side note.
What is it? Confessions of a Dangerous Mind? Why am I, you know the one about the guy that I love that.
Yes. I don't know the name of.
No, I know, but you know what? I don't know the name of anything. I'm a retard. I love Blazing Saddles.
I like Pulp Friction. Is that what it's called?
Fiction.
Oh, Fiction. That's my favorite.
And
Blazing Saddles, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think
probably my favorite movie, though, is The Princess Bride.
Oh, really?
That's a nice picture.
Interesting.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love it.
Andre the Giant.
Have fun storming the castle.
Carrie Always. Yeah, it's a good movie.
Get back, witch. It's a great picture, yeah.
Manny Patinkin. Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
And it sort of covers some ground. It's tells a story, is fun but sort of exciting at the same time, and on nobody's top 10 or maybe even top 100 list, but still sort of a sleeper.
They don't ever make movies like that anymore. It's hilarious. I love Robin Wright Penn. I think she's probably one of my favorite actresses of all time.
She's cute in that. What about least favorite? Do you have a least favorite? Or I would say least favorite. And again, when we talk about least favorite, I ask that we not just pick a crappy movie, but pick one that you think is overrated, that people made too much about.
I've got one, because I couldn't think of it until just this minute, and I get in so much crap for saying that I don't like this movie, because I love all the actors in it, Starsky and Hutch. Mm. It freaking sucked.
Yeah, but...
Overrated.
But I would say that movie... No?
Well, all right, first off... Say. You would say
it was on nobody's top 10 or top 100.
No, but everybody was like, oh, it's awesome. Everybody was like, oh, it's so awesome. It's awesome. What do you mean you didn't like it?
Nobody said
that. We don't run in the same circles. I didn't hear that.
If you get in crap for saying you liked a movie or you didn't like a movie...
Let me tell you, here's your one.
It was sort of a cartoon, though.
Here's your one. Here's your most overrated movie of all time. It has... second place is far in the distance. Titanic.
Oh, no.
Titanic sucks.
No.
No, what?
No, well, first off.
Titanic is wretched.
Here's what I'm going to say about Titanic.
Best picture, indeed.
There's nothing wrong with that movie.
Oh, please. Nothing wrong with it.
If you can realistically recreate the sinking of the world's biggest ocean liner at the time and seeing, you know, the thing goes up, it goes straight up, people are sliding down the deck and falling off the back and hitting the giant propellers.
Those things look
cool,
sure.
All that stuff. I mean, just for that alone, just to sort of physically
be there watching the Titanic sink. It's that realistic. It's worth it. That's worth the $8 alone.
Here, let me tell you something. Yeah, it looks cool. I'm fine with that. Exactly. There are hundreds of people dying on the ship. That should be grave enough circumstances without having to add in the little stupid storyline of Leonardo DiCaprio being handcuffed to a pipe and his old lady has swinging an axe and breaking the...
Hey, calm down.
People are dying on the boat. Isn't this enough of a story? What do we need that nonsense? But worse than that, by the way, how about the old lady at the end? She has this million-dollar thing. Her granddaughter, who waits on her hand and foot, has wasted her life. She has no man because she's taking care of the old bag all the time. The old lady finds has the diamond. She throws it into the ocean.
Yes.
Hey, give me the diamond. I'm taking care of you. My life would be made when you kick in a couple of months, old lady.
Wow.
Throws it into the sea.
Yeah, she threw the ruby into the sea. No, that
movie sucks.
That is a sweeping epic. And it is amazing. Please. Look, when they take, you know, they made the whole harbor in Mexico and built the, you know, full-size scale of the ship and everything. It was an amazing movie.
I mean, look, the story. Not.
Look, the story, I will grant you, was a little syrupy.
It's 80% of the movie, though, is the love affair.
Well,
who gives a crud?
No one wants to go watch a movie about just people dying on a ship. Hey, people drowned. Let's go see that movie. I don't want to go see that movie.
Yeah, we want to see love. Rachel and I want to be swept away.
Yes.
That's right.
And then literally swept away the movie.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. All right. Where the hell? Oh, for me, now this is an interesting one, and this is what I'm talking about with these movies in the overrated department. First off, the Bill Murray movie we were talking about yesterday out of Japan.
Lost in Translation.
Lost in Translation. Very overrated, in my opinion. 90 minutes of nothing to me. I mean,
that movie's awesome.
No. It's not awesome. What's in it that's awesome? I mean, it's not horrible, but no way does it deserve the accolades that it received. There's nothing really going on in that movie.
There's
and maybe
so
that's
much
the
going
point.
On.
Really? Like
it's
what?
Emotional action, okay?
I don't think so. You know, it didn't make me think, and it didn't really make me laugh or cry. It was just sort of like, meh, seems overrated. Nothing wrong with it. It had been built up for too long before I saw it, so it became disappointing. If I saw it the first day it came in a theater, I would have said, that's a nice little ditty. It's a nice little film.
You know a movie you don't like that I love? I think it's one of the best movies of the last 5 years or so, Punch Drunk Love.
That is was going to be another one on my list.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which is, no, that's good. On the sort of hipster overrated list, which is Punch Drunk Love with Adam Sandler and company. A beautifully shot film. I mean, it was very interesting the way the movie was shot. But I would argue that if I handed you the script, the Punch Drunk Love, and you read it about 70 pages in, you'd say, what the F is this? I have no idea what this movie is. If you just read the dialogue, if you just looked at the scenes, the dialogue wasn't very good. Nothing happened. It was super interesting, and it kept screaming, here comes something cool. Here comes an interesting film. Here's a departure from Sandler. Yeah, he's not being funny, and the movie's boring.
No, it's a beautiful story. It's about the power of love. It's told in extremes, black and white. Every movie, life is about the gray areas in between, but this movie was about the black and white of the power of...
I get it. It's okay to have a love story about a Jew, but not about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, Gentiles can't love? Is that what you're saying? They can't get laid in an old 20s Model T every once in a while? Look, that movie, I would argue that if you read the script, and this isn't the end-all and be-all, but if you read the script of Punch Drunk Love, you would have no idea what that movie was about, what was going on, and you would say, you would label it a horrible script. That's my argument with that movie. I watched an hour and 20 minutes of that, had no interest in what was going on, and couldn't follow for that matter, too. Somebody leaves a guitar or something out in the street. He spends an hour walking out to the street to get it and walking back. That was just one of those we're too cool for school movies. That's all it was. It was Much Ado About Nothing. It was the Emperor's New Movie.
Incorrect.
Nothing good in that movie at all. No memorable lines, nothing.
It's a lovely movie.
Don't even know what it's about.
Message.
Can't even say what it's about.
I just told you what it's about.
What's it about?
The power of love.
A Jew falls in love. Big whoop. All right, let's take a break. We'll do some news. We'll do some sports. We'll have Ozzy back to, he's trying to sound things out there right now. Do a little reenactment from
Speaking of the
Pulp
Power
Fiction.
Of Love, Kimmel's on his way.
Oh, Kimmel's on his way.
Power of Love, Huey Lewis.
All right.
Biggest fan.
We'll be right back after this.
Yeah, that's the power of Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel in studio, everybody.
Thank you. Imaginary audience.
Lemmy out, Kimmel in. We're arguing about best and worst of all time in the movie department. Oscars coming up. We have news. We have sports. We have Kimmel. Anthony?
Yes.
What's your candidate for worst movie?
Napoleon Dynamite. It's got to be one of the worst movies ever.
No.
Hang up on him.
It's a great movie.
Don't hang up. Hold on.
No, I would agree with without Heater, it's not a great movie, but he's in it. He's ultimately watchable, and what the heck?
I liked every minute. That was my favorite movie of the year.
That movie's awesome.
Oh, no. They made an energy drink after it.
I'm
overrated.
Yeah. I will agree with you that getting back to reading the script, I think if I read the script for Napoleon Dynamite, I wouldn't be that impressed, but then I didn't see John Heder doing his thing, and that just made it watchable. All right, Anthony.
I don't know.
We label you a tard. But please
Let me give my most overrated movie. Little film called Any Given Sunday.
Oh, my God. I got it written down right there.
That's overrated.
You remember how angry I was? I went to see that movie together. I was trying to get up and leave. And I mean, you're talking about a football movie where the quarterback comes in to replace the grizzled veteran, and he has half of a decent game, and then one good game, and suddenly he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and he's being carried on people's shoulders all around town.
I'm telling you, I've been calling for this for years, Kimmel knows, we all need a montage sequence in our life, where you do one radio appearance, and all of a sudden the papers go spinning. Variety, Kimmel takes on world, you know what I mean? And the music kicks in. I would use it for stuff like painting the house. You know, I get started, and then the music fires up, and before you know it, I'm done. I'm standing back and cracking a beer. But, yes. Talk about montage sequences.
I will also add that that movie, people talk about Brokeback Mountain. That is Any Given Sunday is the gayest movie of all time. Not one moment of male love in it, and yet still the gayest movie of all time. These imaginary football sequences where people are flying through the air, and for some reason they have no shirts on, their nipples are glistening in the rain, there are no lights on the field, they're playing a nationally televised football game in the dark, in pitch black.
There is a lot of stuff where, a lot of movies where guys are walking in slow motion with their shirts off down a hot tarmac where you see the heat coming off. It's that honcho gay. Once you get macho enough, eventually you go gay. You go too manly, too masculine, come back to gay.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Yes.
You don't want to know what I've done.
Had Titanic not been my worst movie, most overrated at least, on Any Given Sunday. And because here's the other thing with it, too, is the unrealistic football scenes, the Jamie Foxx has to defeat 37 defenders on the field for one play to run for a touchdown. they just keep coming out of nowhere, diving at them everywhere, doing somersaults, ridiculous.
Snipers. That was a terrible movie.
No numbers on it's the jerseys. Though. Yeah.
I think if you're a sports fan, you think that movie's terrible. I liked it.
Well, anyone who knows TV, though, knows when you see Al Pacino cast as the veteran coach, he's the prototype for all coaches. They all look like Al Pacino, and all the owners look like Cameron Diaz. So it was realistic from that perspective. I think we have to give him that.
Touché.
All right. Jimmy Kimmel in studio. Jimmy Kimmel Live doing a special Sunday show, big Oscar show, this Sunday evening. We were trying to figure out what time the show comes on because the Oscars start at 5. Out here, they end at 8 or so.
Well, on the West Coast, here's how it's going to go. It will go the pre-show, which some are calling the Oscars, hosted by Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And then here in Los Angeles, there will be 3.5 hours of George Pinocchio.
Right.
And then
wearing a brooch,
the local news.
Look, if you don't want people to mistake you for gay, how about you leave the brooch at home just one day?
I like George. He's a good guy. And I told him the next time he interviews me, he better make me a matching vest because I would love to do that interview. Me and George wearing our vests together.
Paisley vest with that grandma brooch thing that right in the middle of that, right in the middle of the tie.
And then will be the show. So there'll be some post-show stuff in between it. But on the East Coast, and I know there's no one listening right now on the East Coast, but if you happen to be jumping on the plane right now, it comes on almost right after the Oscars.
Tom has a favorite show. Tom?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
Love the show.
Thanks.
One thing, I never hear you plug your reruns on that video channel every night. You get back-to-back man shows.
That's because we've been robbed like Gary Coleman was by his parents. And we made no money on any of these DVDs or on that syndicated show or any of that stuff. That's why we never plug it.
Right. I didn't know it was on. That's my excuse. Yes, that's Jimmy's excuse is we're being raped financially. Mine is just pure ignorance. It's on G4?
Something like that. I watch it and change the channel right away.
Thank you. That's right.
It's okay to watch it, isn't it?
Sure, why not? Just along
right,
with
how, how's the Mancho boy doing? Is he a Mancho man yet?
He's in the joint right now.
We haven't seen him in a long time. I don't know what happened to the little Mancho boy.
Wait, the Mancho boy isn't Tad? I just assumed.
No. Thank you, Tom.
Keep it up.
We'll keep going.
I thought he had a favorite movie. I guess not, huh?
As Mancho was his favorite movie.
Oh.
All right. I just put him on because he said he loved the Mancho. What the hell? Feels good. Yeah. All right. So should we do a little news, a little sports? Kimmel, you'll hang in with us?
Yes, I will.
Presidents in Pakistan today, he was greeted by protests, burning flags, chants of down with Bush. Three people were killed in the protests, and might I add that the Pakistani government shut down access to popular blogging websites so that Pakistani bloggers can't update their blogs.
Thank goodness.
Matt's showing them.
Yep. And speaking of the internet, MySpace is in the news. There was a Michigan teacher who was suspended and escorted from the school because of a student-produced explicit film about the dangers of MySpace. So they kicked the teacher out for letting them show this. It had all these explicit pictures and stuff on it.
This MySpace thing is, I mean, the parents and teachers have now gone crazy, like as if it's some sort of voodoo ritual the kids are participating in. They're really like there are warnings being sent home with my kids for
really?
This MySpace, and kids are kids are not doing anything different than they do on the telephone or than they do on a flyer and put it on everyone's car in the parking lot of the high school. But people are terrified of this MySpace now. It's amazing.
Let me tell you this, though. We went on. Tad showed me around, took me on a little tour of the MySpace. Girls that are about 18 or 19 put pictures of themselves nude.
What's wrong with that? That's what I...
Oh, yes. But girls who we don't want to look at nude
is
are
that
putting
right?
themselves...
Why? Yeah, but if they want to do that, let them do it if they're 18 or 19.
Well, plus,
right,
there's...
Fair enough.
There's
yeah, but-
every Friday night, there's one of these news magazines that does a special of the kid who gets on MySpace, and then the pedophile comes yeah. over to the house, and all this, and it's just... I don't know. I think we're making everyone in this country paranoid. I think we're just scaring the crap out of every parent, every teacher, every lawyer's got everyone scared to move. We're being paralyzed.
Yeah. The kids are here's the deal. The kids are up to no good, and that's it. And it doesn't matter what the technology
right. Why
is.
Why don't we just kill them?
Let me tell you what my buddy Cleto and I were doing when we were kids. My buddy Cleto is now the band leader on my show. When we were kids, if we saw a kite flying in the sky, we would run to his house. We would immediately break into his dad's gun closet. We'd get a shotgun out of the closet. We'd go in the backyard, and we'd shoot those kites out of the sky. In a neighborhood, we're firing guns into the air.
I'm no fan of the Jews either. I wasn't really listening, but I don't believe we should be. First off, I don't like that
kites.
Term for them. What's that?
No.
I don't believe that derogatory. I have Jewish friends, and so does Damashek. I don't like the derogatory term, and I don't think there should be open season
I think
on
you're
these
confused.
People.
I think you're confused.
All right.
I said kites.
Okay. Oh, I understand now. Okay.
Nowadays, could you imagine if, like, we were arrested for that? And I can't believe we weren't.
Well, no one's going to arrest you for that because everybody's online right now. Nobody's playing with kites.
Exactly.
Yes.
Get back to shooting kites and off this MySpace, kids.
That's yes. a good... Get the kids outside, playing outside again.
We did. We terrorized our neighborhood. I mean, every day it was something terrible we were doing to the neighbors, where it was calling... There was a guy named Mike Schilling. He lived right across the street from us. And all day and night, we would torture him. We'd send cabs to his house at 3 in the morning. We'd send pizzas. We'd send Chinese food. At Christmas time, he had a Christmas tree, and he put it out on the curb for the garbage guys to come get it, right? Every night in the middle of the night, we'd sneak out later and later each night. we take the tree and we jam it in his doorway. So when he opened the door, it was right there in his face, and he could never get rid of it. It went on for like a month. He started sleeping at the window by the front of his house. Like it was, the next step was for him to set up a tent in his driveway to catch us, but he would sleep, and we could see him sleeping. We'd get up on the roof of Cleto's house. We'd see him sleeping there, and once we felt he'd gone to sleep, we'd tiptoe over, and we'd jam the tree back in the doorway as quietly as we possibly could. And finally, one day, he put it in the car and drove it to the dump.
It's now cyber mischief, which is better than real life stuff. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, we were out climbing. I used to climb up on the 7-Eleven and throw water balloons at the cars. You know, they tie the string across the street with the fishing wire and have them pull the cans. All this kind of stuff you did now you just do it getting morbidly obese from your computer. I would argue it's safer than
it
used to be.
When did the two of you guys do your homework, though?
Homework.
Let me tell you, homework's for the kites. That's how come they're all doctors.
Let me tell you this much. My old man and his brothers set a retarded boy in the neighborhood on fire.
No, they did not. They did not. Your father did that?
That's right.
He's a doctor.
I know.
Oh, my.
He's a witch doctor.
That's terrible.
I think
this
the guilt motivated him to devote his life. Like Spider-Man, he didn't stop the guy who killed his grandfather, so he devoted his life to fighting crime. Same thing. My father sent a boy.
The difference was the other guy killed the grandfather. Now, your father is like the killer.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, was the kid hurt?
No, I think I think he was able to bang out the fire quickly enough that he didn't.
Yeah, I gotta believe that's a breach of the Hippocratic Oath. I'm not sure.
That's what you guys ought to do the tad in Vegas for the Vegas show.
Set that
we
on
need
fire.
Something big.
Yeah.
This is why kids should be on the internet and shouldn't be able to interact.
That's right.
I got another story about a kid in Oregon who got 4 days in juvenile detention because he refused to write an essay explaining his accountability for giving another kid a nipple twister.
Wow.
Yeah. He got in big trouble for this.
Yeah.
So, how do you explain it? What explanation could possibly
they just wanted him to be, like, accountable for it, and he was like, no, I'm not going to.
Oh, really? So he would not admit that he did it?
Well, he admitted that he did it, but he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to be like, it was wrong, I guess.
Oh.
How much could you write about the origins of the nipple twister?
Well, maybe we should try.
I would like to represent this kid in court because I happen to agree with him. There is no, to ask somebody to put an explanation on a nipple twister.
That's right.
It's ridiculous. And I wouldn't waste my time with it either if I was him. Nipple twister is what it is. It happens. Sometimes it needs to happen.
Yeah. It's no difference than a Indian burn or a noogie attack. Yeah. It just is.
Adult life, though, for some reason.
Oh, what a society we're living in, though, where you get suspended for a wedgie or a nipple twister or a noogie. Our kids are going to grow up in an environment where they don't know about this. It's all just going to be pedophiles on the internet. So sad. So sad.
Moving on, Kid Rock is blaming Scott Stapp for letting the sex tape of them getting, things done to them. Mm-hmm. By groupies. He says he's the idiot because it's out. I'm holding him responsible.
That means he has a smaller penis. That's all I hear.
Gary Glitter is spending the next 3 years in a Vietnamese prison for committing obscene acts on 10 and 11-year-old girls. He also has to pay them $320. It's the Oscars. Well,
that's going to make it all right.
Yeah. The bargain basement. Yeah.
$300, you're not whole again, but you get up to $320, you're back.
At those prices, you can't afford not to molest kids.
That's right. That's a good point. Yeah.
It's
that's
got to
be great for him.
The Oscars this weekend, of course, and American Idol last night. Four more idols kicked off. Mm-hmm. I picked three of them.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that I got wrong, of course, was Jose
Sway. Yeah.
Odd job. And that was just because I was hoping that Ace was going to get kicked out, but I knew it wasn't going to happen.
What about the guy with the white hair? Did he get kicked off?
No.
He's still on?
He's my favorite.
Yeah, I like him too, but the thing about it is they're almost all terrible. I mean, almost every one of them is terrible. Do they have a Canadian Idol?
Yeah, they do have Canadian Idol. Yeah, it's a whole other show.
We may need to import some of them because
Rachel won, as a matter of fact, a couple years ago. Maybe we have her winning song. Well, one thing I am happy about is that Randy Jackson, he loves this Sway, you know, and he is the scourge of this season's American Idol. Mm-hmm. He has his dog pound, which anyone knows he stole from Arsenio Hall. a pox on him for doing so. I tried to follow his lead and steal one myself. I get a dog pound myself. Brusca rejected it. Too expensive. Instead, he got me this fish tank. But I make it work. How say you, fish tank? Yes. Thank you.
Don't forget to send someone in here to feed them over the weekend. Otherwise, they're not going to be here next.
Thank you.
This is the great Randy Jackson move, by the way. After every performance that he doesn't like, he goes, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. I was like, can you know one? Because you're the judge. So know one. I don't know. I don't know. I just, you know.
It was a little pitchy.
Thank you.
It was a little pitchy.
Just didn't do it. You had me, but you lost me. I don't know.
Yeah. And he wears something that's quickly becoming very annoying for me, which is the non-reflective low-glare lenses on his glasses, which looks like you're just wearing frames now because there's no light reflection. I don't like that. I like the Noah guys wearing glasses.
Well, he already got that gastric bypass thing. Shouldn't he go out and get a laser?
Yeah, just get the LASIK, too.
Yeah, go for the LASIK.
He's on the way back up. That's what's happened. Everybody got the stomach stapling about 2-3 years ago. They lost the weight. And now you'll see with Roker and all these people on the rise again. They're putting it right back on.
We were talking last week laughing about the humiliation of these poor people that get tossed off and then have to sing the same song that got them voted out. Immediately after.
Yeah, it's got to be uncomfortable.
Plus, when half of the critique is, that was a horrible song, you made a horrible song selection,
that song didn't work for you at all,
here's a microphone, and here we go.
Do it one more time.
Remind
us all why we kicked you off of here in the first place.
I was laughing last week that I would quickly change the lyrics. I would have some great filthy lyrics. It's a live
like
show.
Like Wayne Brady on a Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That's right. Except for funny. Yeah. You see, the thing is these guys are, the show's live. They know the song they're singing. The band's going to go right into it. And as they go into the chorus of Kiss My Fat Ass, All of You, and Go to Hell, there's nothing they could do. Seacrest would have to tackle the guy on stage.
You know what I'd love to see? I would like to see, like Randy Johnson, supposedly he's a great bass player. Everybody's like, but we never see that, you know?
The baseball player.
No. I mean, Randy Jackson, I'm sorry. I keep saying Randy Johnson. But he's a great bass player, you know?
Right.
And I would love to see him get up there. And what I really love is maybe in the middle of one of her nervous breakdowns, they make Paula get up and sing on, like, at the spur of the moment.
Yeah,
hey, Paula, you know what? That's a great criticism, Paul. Jump up there and show them why you're America's number one pop star. Come on, everyone. What do you think, Paula? And just, like, force her up there and see how that sounds.
And we dug the cartoon cat up, and he's going to dance with you.
And then, there we go. On top of then you make Simon sing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the greatest? Simon sings in front of an audience of the rejected Idol contestants. How great, how sweet would that be?
Best show ever.
So David, I think, was thrown off last night.
Yeah, he's the Harry Connick wannabe.
Oh, he was terrible.
He's so irritating.
He was the Titanic of American Idol performance.
He sung the...
Sorry, Adam, but I'm with Dave on the Titanic thing.
He sung... Well, the special effects. I mean, they spent $200 million on it.
The old lady threw the diamond away.
We heard it.
Her granddaughter would have been set for life. For generations, the family would have been set.
Right. She was a lesbian and was disowned many years ago, Dave. That's a part of the story you didn't hear about. You gotta get it on DVD. Get the actor's commentary. You missed out. Yeah. All right, so I composed a little song, speaking of David Radford, the obnoxious guy, the crooner, the guy who was tossed doing the Sinatra song.
You have a song about this?
Yes, yes. This is the song I would sing if I got tossed.
Well, why don't you save it and then come back with this exciting song?
Wow, that's good radio.
Good radio, right?
That is. That's what we call a tease.
That's why I'm here.
In radio. All right,
so
I'll do that.
You're going to sing a song to Simon when we come back?
This is the song that had he been David, if he were David and said, you're kicked off,
This is what he would say.
Yes.
Yes. All right. All right. Let's do a little sports, and then we'll do the song when we come back.
All right. Oh.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA basketball. We played this evening. The Phoenix Suns, 8-game win streak. They're at home to play the Orlando Magic, who I already just finished saying a little while ago. Magic is not a name for a team. You must end your team name in S. I'm going to change it now. From now, heretofore, they shall be the Orlando Wildcats. No.
Oh, make it the...
No. The Orlando Jackals. The Orlando Gorillas.
How about kites?
No. Retirees.
You can't go with gorillas.
Can't go do that.
Yeah. Yeah. How about just the Orlando Magics? Yeah, we with the Magics.
Yeah,
why not?
Okay,
sounds good. Right?
Most of them pluralized naturally.
And the
anyway.
Miami Heats.
Yes. Yes.
This is a better world. I like that. So they'll be playing the Orlando Magics. Meantime, LA's leading basketball team, the Clippers, they're at Golden State. Meantime, the Kobe's in Utah. Pac-10 ball last night. 13th ranked UCLA beat Cal. That gives the Bruins a share of the Pac-10 crown. And Washington Huskies, who they're battling it out with for that crown, they won at Arizona State last night. This means that these games are irrelevant, more or less. But what it means is the time to fill out the brackets is almost upon us. Very exciting. The gambling begins. The big story in sports is the NFL labor strife. There's almost it sounds like there may be a strike. It may be a bunch of players released from their teams. It sounds like a potential apocalypse. But they've delayed the decision of making this contract for the next couple of years. And so hopefully they'll resolve that for all of our sakes, especially for Jimmy's cousin Sal, because...
That could be it for him.
He may
really
well pass. Yeah, he may take his own life if there's no football.
He may take the lives of everyone around him.
Yeah, he will definitely take people with him.
And speaking of gambling, you know, the thing to gamble on right now until this tournament arrives is the Oscars. It's a fun thing to bet on, you know.
I call them the Oscar.
The Orlando Oscar and the... So I thought it would be a good idea to call our guru, our gambling guru, Mrs. Gretzky, Janet Jones, you know, embroiled still in the gambling scandal in the NHL. But I thought we should give her a call and see what she says. She's back from Torino now. See what she has to say about who she's picking.
This is Gretzky's wife?
Yeah.
Hello, is this Tom Hagen?
No, this is David.
Listen and listen good, Tom Hagen. Johnny Fontaine never gets that movie. That part is perfect for him. It'll make him a big star. And let me tell you why. Johnny Fontaine ruined one of my most valuable proteges. For 5 years, we had her under training, singing, acting, dancing lessons. I was going to make her a big star. And let me be even more frank, just to show you that I'm not a hard-hearted woman and that it's not all dollars and cents. She was beautiful. She was young. She was innocent. She was the greatest piece of ass I've ever had. And I've had him all over the world. And then wow. Johnny Fontaine comes along with his olive oil voice and guinea charm, and she runs off. She threw it all away to make me look ridiculous. And a woman in my position can't afford to be made to look ridiculous.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Gretzky. This is Dave from the Adam Carolla Show. Remember, I was just going to call you to see who you were betting on to win Best Picture in the Oscars?
Brokeback Mountain. Goodbye.
That was uncomfortable. She likes Brokeback.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it, but yeah.
All right, that's where the smart money goes.
That was Gretzky's wife?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It didn't sound like
we've been
like
talking to her. We were talking to her from Torino. She was petting.
Yeah, I've heard that. But I don't think that one was her.
You know.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
That's Jimmy Cynic.
I should mention that I do have, after the Oscar, I do have a special. Jon Stewart will be on that program with me. Johnny Knox will be on the show, and other celebrities to be named if we book them. TBIWBT.
Stewart in Knoxville. That's a good start.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting by the phone Sunday. Jimmy's doing...
I want to just come down, by the way.
Weeknights at 12:05 ABC tonight. Sarah Silverman. Have you met? And Flava Flav is going to be in tonight on Jimmy Kimmel Live. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Jimmy is going to be recreating a little Pulp Fiction scene with the great Oswaldo.
I am. Oh, good.
I'll be doing my song. The song they should have sung last night. And we'll be right back after this.
I've been working here forever. This is the Flava Flav. And you are listening to the Adam Carolla Show, boy.
Flava Flav going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. 12:05 ABC along with the beautiful, talented, and alabaster-skinned Sarah Silverman. That's right. Jimmy Kimmel.
But my big show is after the Oscars on Sunday. It's a special edition of the program. Again, it will be the Oscars, then 3.5 hours of George Pinocchio, and then the local news, and then Oprah reruns, and then me.
Big Tad is going to be trying out for the Biggest Loser on Tuesday.
on this show.
How bad would it be if you get you're not even qualified to be the Biggest Loser? Like if you get turned away from a loser interview,
sad.
I'd love to be a loser, and they say no. You know what? You're hit the road.
Yeah, too pathetic, too fat. Sorry. We're dietitians. We're not magicians. I like that slogan. All right, Jimmy Kimmel in studio. Jimmy is going to be playing along with the great Oswaldo Castillo, reading a classic scene from a classic movie, Pulp Fiction. Are you guys poised?
This is a great scene. Now this is the scene where John Travolta and Samuel Jackson are driving in the car, right?
They're in the car. Driving to go and. Get the case to kill those frat guys.
Right. They're explaining, I think, that Sam Jackson just got back from Amsterdam, and he's explaining the cultural differences. Oh, it's the other way around. That's right.
Right.
So Ozzy will be playing Sam?
Travolta.
Vincent. Or Travolta. He'll be Vincent Travolta. And, of course, Jimmy is going to be Sam Jackson.
Okay. Do we have music or something like that?
Oh,
a presentation?
As soon as Lynch plugs it in.
You did the most, but you know what the funniest thing about Europe is?
What?
It's the little different, a lot of the same stuff we got here, they got there, but there they are little different.
Examples?
Well, in Amsterdam, you can buy beer in movie theater. And I don't mean in the paper cut either. They give you a glass of beer, like in the bar. In Paris, you can buy beer at McDonald's. Also, you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
No.
Vinny, what do they call it?
They call the metric system that the world know what the hell the quarter pounder is.
Wait a minute, I'm
What'd they call it?
I've seen the movie 122 times and I'm lost now.
Well, it's probably because Oswald barely speaks English.
Oh, maybe that's it. Can't we book someone who speaks English on this show?
So I think we're at, what did they call it? What did they call it?
Royal with cheese.
Royal with cheese. What'd they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac, a Big Mac, but they call it Lady Mac.
Lady Big Mac. What do they call a Whopper?
I didn't go into a Burger King, but you know what they put in the fresh fry in Holland instead the ketchup?
What?
Mayonnaise.
God damn.
It's funny that mayonnaise is the only word Ozzy can pronounce, ironically.
Nice job, Ozzy. Very nice.
Thank you. Wow.
He did a much better Travolta than you did a Samuel L.
Well, you know, he's an actor. I'm not.
Ozzy's so giving as an actor. Generous.
It's, you know what I love to act in him? Because he does. He just gets so much back from him.
He's giving.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You both took some chances with that scene. That was great.
Ozzy, that was really brave.
Yeah, you know, a lot of nervous too.
Yeah. Right. What was it like? What's Jimmy Kimmel like in real life, Ozzy?
Jimmy's Jim.
That was very good. Yeah. All right.
I like Ozzy a lot. He's always so cheery. He really is one of the happiest guys I know.
Here's what I want to know from Kim. I don't want to open any wounds here, but, you know, your old lady, Sarah, was in yesterday.
Yeah.
She raided the fellas around the room here. Dave Damashek, number one on our list.
I told you, I feel the same way.
Well, she did, I think, realize at a certain point she did that and slid Jimmy up above you.
But that was because she had to go home to him.
All right.
Yeah. Well, she didn't have to. I mean, she could have gone in that trailer you live in, but
very sad fate. Yeah. Nice job. And something I never thought about, but Travolta's character was Vincent in the movie, right?
Right.
And then you got the Vinnie Barbarino thing that I never really made the Vinnie and the Vincent and all that. Mm-hmm. Am I the only guy I never made that connection?
It's sort of like how Danza, every character Danza's ever played is named Tony.
Okay. Yeah. All right, now... We're talking. Nice
plus,
job,
like
Jim.
Every third Italian guy is named Vincent.
What do you say? Should we do the song now, or should we tease it once again?
I wouldn't
again?
Mind. I would like to personally. I like to hear the song, and I got to rush out of here. So, can you do it so I can hear it?
Well, here's the premise is if I got thrown out of the American Idol competition, I would not sing the song that got me thrown out of the competition and was heavily critiqued as the bad song, the wrong song. I would do it, but I would modify the version, the lyrics to get very insulting toward the judges.
And, all right. So let's pretend that we're the judges and you're a contestant, and we tell you, we got to be Seacrest.
And again, why do you do Seacrest?
The show is live. So there's nothing you could do. The band would just keep playing along, and they'd have to tackle you. You'd be the toast of the town. You'd be the talk of every morning news show and on every evening show that following.
All right.
Night.
So let's do it.
All right.
Adam?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, David Radford is my name.
David. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
he's the Sinatra crooner.
I'm going to be Seacrest.
All right.
Jackson?
Yeah.
Cowell? Abdul? Your votes have been tabulated. America has voted. David, you are. We'll be right back after this.
Wow.
David, you are not moving on.
Thank you.
Now, please regale us with the song that got you kicked off the show.
Sing, loser.
Sing the song that got you tossed. Little Sinatra ditty.
Sing it, David.
Randy, you're so fat and bald. Your gastric bypass surgeon called. And he's giving you an effing refund for the way you look tonight.
And the audience goes crazy.
Everyone to be stunned. Producer stunned. Simon, kiss my fat black ass. I got pictures of you smoking grass. And I'm gonna sell them to a tabloid soon as I'm done keying your bands.
Yeah!
Here comes Seacrest to take you down.
Yeah, he's gonna tackle me. Then I just go into dropping the N-word time after time after time after time until I'm tackled. All right, you guys get the idea.
Nothing for Paula, nothing for Ryan.
I got a little something for Paula here.
Yeah.
I don't know where we are in the song right now.
You gotta wait for a minute and they'll come back to the thing. This would be just huge to attack them in song.
And everyone would be stunned. They'd have to go to commercial.
Oh, here
be
it comes,
talk.
Adam.
Okay.
Here you go.
Paula, hope you rot in hell. I'd like to throw your fat ass in a well. Then I'd fill it up with fecal matter. All right, that's all I got.
You're
going nuts.
I'll say you fish tank. They love it too.
Jimmy Kimmel, everybody. Jimmy Kimmel Live special Oscar show.
Post-Oscars, Jon Stewart, Johnny Knoxville. I have to say, we did a thing with Jon Stewart. That is one of the funniest things I've ever been involved with. It's very, very funny. I won't give any more than that. You have to watch it to see.
Is it, are we going to get teased about it on Access Hollywood and it turn out to like
doubtful.
A Kathy Lee thing?
I'll be like a ghost in this particular. Super Bowl is a big deal. They promoted the hell out of it. Oscars, I will get nary a mention. So here it is after the show on ABC.
Sarah Silverman tonight and Flavor Flav. Jimmy, God bless. Thank you. We'll be back. We're going to call our casino, the Palms, and get the odds on the Oscars after this.
This is James Ice Out Tony, heavyweight champion of the world. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Chump.
Call me a chump. So old school. All right, we have a little more show to go. Jimmy Kimmel has left the studio. We're going to get some Oscar odds. We have Anthony Minnelli.
Adam, hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
You do sportsinteraction.com, and you have actual odds on the best picture, best actor, so forth?
That's right. We've odds on six of them, best actor, best actress, best support, and best picture, best director.
So you'll take action on these.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there an amount, is there a limit? If I wanted to bet $1 million on Crash, would you take it?
We wouldn't, no. That'd be too rich for our blood.
What do you go up to?
We go up to about $220.
Oh, that's it? I got that in my shoe.
it's We're just doing this for fun. We take a little more on football or basketball. Mm-hmm. These are just novelty bets that people like to bet on because it gives you something to cheer for during the show. The show can stretch on a little.
Sure. So, all right.
I'm sure it won't this year with Jon Stewart doing it, but in other years it can be kind of dull. So people stay concentrated when they're a few bucks down. That's what we found.
It's a good point. It's nice whether it's the Super Bowl or whether it's the Oscars, something that's going to go on for 3 or 4 hours. Put some money down, even if it's a nominal amount. Keep yourself interested. So give us the odds. Who's the favorite? Let's start with best movies.
The favorite for best movie by a long chalk is Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm. What are the odds?
The odds are short. On it, you get back 12 cents. You make 12 cents profit on every dollar.
You're kidding. So, it's that heavily favored?
It's that heavily favored, yeah.
All right, if I bet $100 on Brokeback Mountain, I would get $12 back?
That's exactly right, yeah. And you're 100.
Oh,
but you only
you.
Make $12 profit.
All right, but you're saying I wouldn't lose $88 for winning? How generous of you. And then there's the VIG. Wow. All right, what's second?
Second is Crash.
Mm-hmm.
Crash is 7-2, so you get back $3.50.
All right.
On every dollar.
And so there you go. So if you bet $100, you get back $350.
Exactly.
Okay. What is the what's the third?
The third movie is Munich, which is 16-1. You get back $16 on every buck bet.
Wow. Now, see, that seems like... Now, that there seems to me that Brokeback Mountain is all the talk, but not because it's supposed to be a great film, just because everyone's talking about it. I mean, in years past, people would be talking about the best picture because it was the best picture. This is... People are talking about because it's controversial, because it's the fodder for a lot of late-night comedy shows and jokes and gay jokes and all that. But do people consider Brokeback Mountain better than Munich or better than Crash? I mean, I would say most people consider Crash a better film.
Now, I think Brokeback Mountain is a great picture, but I say that probably they're gambling on, correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony, that the voters want to be hip, right? Yeah. That it's the hip vote is to vote for Brokeback Mountain, yes?
Yeah, Brokeback Mountain has won nearly every award coming up to the Oscars, and that's why it's been so popular. But Crash, I've been looking at some sites, and we're seeing action ourselves. We've seen money coming in on Crash, so Crash is beginning to challenge it.
Yeah.
And we've noticed an interesting trend as well, where even though Brokeback Mountain is a favorite to win Best Picture, the director of Brokeback Mountain, Ang Lee, is more or less unbackable now to win Best Director. Mm-hmm. You only get back 8 cents profit on every dollar if Ang Lee wins the Oscar for Best Director. So we're beginning to think now that people are hedging their bets, that what they're doing is they're going to give Ang Lee Best Director, and then Best Picture might go to Crash on the basis that Brokeback Mountain might be a mountain too far.
What about... Powerful. What about... Save the poetry for us, please. What about the Best Actor, Best Actress?
The favorite for Best Actor is Philip Seymour Hoffman for... Capote. He's 5-1 on,
mm-hmm.
which is a heavy, heavy favorite.
And what about the actress?
Reese Witherspoon is the favorite there.
Really?
She's
yeah.
More or less 5-1 on as well. She's being challenged by Felicity Huffman for her part in Transamerica.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see Reese Witherspoon losing it, to be honest.
You know, if they should give Huffman Best Actor. She was that convincing as a man.
Hey, Anthony, let me ask quickly. Don't the Jewish voters always win the documentaries or about the, you know, about the Holocaust? That always wins Best Documentary. So wouldn't it be a good bet at 16-1 to take Munich? That seems like a reasonable thing, yes?
It's a reasonable bet. I'm not sure that that's likely to happen because Munich fundamentally isn't really that great a picture, you know?
Yeah. No, you didn't like it very much. All right,
didn't see it.
We need to... you didn't see it.
No.
But yet you know you hate it.
I knew I didn't want to say.
We need to take a extendo break. I want to thank you, Anthony Minnelli, for calling in, or for accepting our call, as I should say. Sportsinteraction.com is where you go to get a little action on that. Tad, I know you have to give a plug, so give your plug.
All right, guys. I'm going to be at the Land Rover in Thousand Oaks, 3601 Auto Mall Drive.
Let's reboot. Take that one from the top.
All right, sorry.
When is this?
It's Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Land Rover of Thousand Oaks, 3601 Auto Mall Drive. 805-497-7522 if you want to get more information. We're going to sign up people for a trip to Vegas to come see us do our show. We're going to have stickers, keychains, and the new, brand new Adam Carolla show t-shirts to give away too. So come out there.
All right. Big Tad, I want to thank Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel Live, weeknights, 12:05, big special post-Oscar show this Sunday after the Oscars. Jillian Barbary, Good Day LA. Frank Caliendo for calling up as President Bush. Lemmy for Motorhead. Also, Van Stone. I could tell Lemmy was impressed. There, Lemmy's going to be at the House of Blues with Motorhead, Anaheim on Friday, also this Tuesday. Caliendo is going to be at the Tempe Improv Sunday, March 12th. Don't miss him. Funny, funny man. And, of course, Anthony from sportsinteraction.com. Next week, James Toney, Pat O'Brien, Tad's going to try out for the Biggest Losers. Oh, what a show. We'll, and again, we're going to be in Vegas as well. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.